Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Gentlemen, you are the top 1%.
The elite. Best of the best. We'll make it better.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce you to our commanding officer at Top Gun. The very first man to win the Top Gun trophy. You will not find a finer fighter pilot anywhere in the world.
Paul Perillo.
I will fire when I am good and ready. You got that?
And Andy. And Andy?
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
Andy Hart.
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right.
I am dangerous.
Eric Scalavino.
I want somebody's butt. I want it now. I'm at it.
For now, anyway.
Heck, twice. I want some
fun! PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for. You are America's best. Make us proud.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday of the week before the hated Jets are to take on the Patriots at the new Meadowlands Stadium. I can't wait. I am pumped and jacked, as Pete Carroll would say. I'm just giddy. I'm just all excited and ready to go. And we're ready to go with the show.
Sort of.
PFW in Progress. It's web radio at patriots.com. It's the email address, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. We'll be here until 2 o'clock.
Maybe.
Taking your calls and emails. Listen, Matt, why are you...
We're a little off our schedule.
Our other endeavors are kind of crossing paths.
What's going on? Well,
Algie Crumpler, I was supposed to sit down with during open locker room for PFW, the TV show on Comcast Sportsnet.
Right.
Have yet to see Algie Crumpler, and locker room is now closed, so I may be pulled out if
I don't know. I think this takes precedent over the TV show, Andy.
I think it should.
That's why we're here.
I actually just had this conversation with Paul in the hallway. I don't want to devalue this show.
I think Tori Champagne can figure something out.
But you know? We also shot the show yesterday prior to the big news of the last 2 days that Lawrence Maroney was dealt to the
Something
Broncos.
That we warned them about.
And Paul will now shoot his 3 points over again, so that he may need to do that at some point. There's just a lot going on. Bill Belichick's doing press conferences now during our show. I don't know why. I don't like the new schedule.
Yeah,
we kind of need to cover.
Well, that
those.
Is something that we discussed at 12:15 or so. He's going to do his press conference. You guys are going to run out.
Yeah. Well, the problem is I don't really want to run out when I see him on this monitor that's behind Paul, which
well,
is
then
showing
it'll be too late.
Too late. But I don't want to go too early and have him do. Sometimes he's 20 minutes late. Now all of a sudden I miss an hour of the show. We devalue the show, and I like to bring the best possible product to our fans that we can.
Right.
And that right today is talking about Lawrence Maroney and why he was dealt to the Denver Broncos.
I think that will be
why
our...
Why is Chris down here? Are we having trouble again? Okay, he's shaking his head vehemently no. Okay, good.
I'll let the emailers decide. If you get 5 emails that say, are we on, you sound like Alvin, all that, then we'll know what the issue is.
All right.
I think that will be our plan every
an
Wednesday,
inappropriate
Freddie.
Hand gesture from one of the monkeys.
We'll do that on Wednesday. It's our normal schedule. We'll kind of come in, we'll start the show, we'll leave, and then come back. Today, I think that there's a chance that if Crumpler is available, we can't allow him, you know, we don't want to have the player wait. So Andy might have to leave.
I actually just asked Paul to sit in for Algie Crumpler because they have a similar build. They both go about 275.
I have that kind of athleticism as well.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Probably inappropriate if I say what I was just going to say, so I won't.
The Art Shell physique.
Yeah. I was going to go with the Ted Danson. Didn't he do a famous
Ted Danson?
Blackface?
Yes, he did.
I was picturing Paul putting on blackface.
Glad that you didn't say it because you thought it would be inappropriate.
All right.
I just think we need to be open and talk about things, which just means we should talk about why Lawrence Maroney, after Bill said he was going to have a major role with the team.
Well, he did. He got him a 4th-round pick. That
now,
was the role.
Don't you believe, in all likelihood, they played a game here, he and Josh? that Josh thought Bill was going to cut him, may have been interested earlier because of the ongoing injury issues with No'Shawn Moreno. Bill said, okay, I'll keep him and then call you in a week and you'll
maybe,
see.
Yeah.
Maybe there was
and
some sort of gamesmanship there.
And
couldn't
if you look,
cut Benny because Benny might get picked up.
Well, if you also look back with how little he played as
right.
well, probably want to make,
sure, he
make sure he's healthy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he wasn't.
Sure he gets, I thought of that, yeah.
You know, want to make sure he doesn't get nicked up.
Biggest question I would have. I respect Josh McDaniels as an offensive mind, right?
Sure.
And an Irish jig dancer.
Why does he want Lawrence Maroney?
Well, I just think they're desperate.
Yeah.
Does he still see the potential? Or?
You know, Marino hasn't been what they thought he might be, and the other guy got hurt. He's out. What's
No, I know. I just...
I don't know. What,
he
what,
gave something
Buckholter's
up.
Hurt?
No, not Buckholter. Didn't they have... Would they have Tatum Bell? Who am I thinking of?
No, he's long gone.
Yeah, there's another guy that got hurt.
Pac-Man Jones?
No,
he had a good
no,
year
no.
last year for them.
No. Shut up.
You're going to yell at him today like yeah. he yelled at me yesterday?
But I just wonder, is it desperation?
Yeah, or, I think it is.
Because to me, desperation, you can sign a guy off the street.
But I think it's desperation.
Well, he kind of knew the guy, too.
But
right,
yeah, yeah, there's nothing,
but that's
you have
my
nothing
point.
To lose
Does
here.
He know and like, know and accept?
Oh, I think it's hard not to like Maroney if you
I
know him.
I don't mean as a person. I mean
Who
as
knows?
The
a change
guy
of scenery
field.
Could
oh,
be
well,
just the thing
but
for
don't
this
you
guy.
Think you think he's literally as untalented as a jag off the street?
I think he could have been a jag on the street. I think he was really close to being a guy that was on the street to open the season.
I've been fairly critical, but I think there's talent there. I think he doesn't put it all together.
When was the last time you saw that talent? Really saw talent that you said
we saw it at times last year until he started fumbling.
I didn't see much last.
The last time I saw it was 2007 December
January. The last 2 years I haven't seen.
And the last time I really saw it was his rookie year. I think was his best performance.
Yeah,
I know
explosive. You guys like to say that I
the
kick guys out the door. I like to, but I think he had talent.
Well, you've gone back and forth on him. You closed the door when you got so mad because he danced on a kickoff and you almost swore
I got
on
upset.
The air. If he's going to bring the dancing to kickoffs, then we got no use for him.
Yeah, I know. You
went off.
Yeah. But I still think he had talent. I don't think he's that talent will ever.
I don't
he's
care
inconsistent.
About the
he's yeah. inconsistent.
Does he have the skills to be a successful NFL
no,
running back?
I don't
but
know.
But does Josh McDaniels think he does?
I don't know if it's skills or mental, but the, something is the, keeping him from
whatever.
Realize his potential. There's something that's keeping
But is it.
And
is,
it will continue
like
to,
we said
I
with
think.
Ben Watson, he was a first round pick who couldn't catch the football. We kind of pinpointed.
Right.
His hands were an issue, right? Keeping him from becoming, yeah. making use of the size, the speed, the athleticism, all that.
And I don't think he had the football instincts you need either.
Maybe.
Yeah.
What is Lawrence Maroney lacking?
Mental toughness.
Yeah, I think that's part
so
of it.
So he has all these skills to be an NFL running back, successful.
And he might not have the instincts.
A great one? Maybe not.
No.
A starter on a decent team kind
yeah,
of one.
I think he does. I
so
think
he's
he has
better
skill.
Than a street jag.
Yeah, okay. yeah. Now, all that, said,
talent.
All that said, I have no problem with the trade at all. And this was all you were going to get out of Maroney this year. The one concern, Andy and I talked about it, we wrote it on the blog yesterday, you have three running backs, and they're close to their mid-30s now, with injury histories, especially right. Morris and Taylor. That's, you kind of lost your safety net there. Maroney was a decent safety net, but...
Yeah,
and it kind of
did you have to have five running backs so you could make sure that... A guy that some people, and we just talked about it, some people don't think has enough skill.
Yeah.
And he was probably 4 or 5 on the depth chart at this point.
But
and
given that, I am a little surprised, given the injury history of Morris and Taylor, that they were willing to do this.
Well, that's what tells me they didn't want him. They could have cut
yeah.
him, whatever.
Yeah.
That they're willing to have Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis be the healthy fill-in option. And it also tells us Fred Taylor is the starting running back, the lead back on this team.
Because
the conversation
no
was never really included Sammy Morris. He's a committee guy. Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis is a committee guy. Fred Taylor is talented enough to be the back, and we've seen flashes of Lawrence Maroney be the guy, start games, touchdowns, all that. This closes the door. It's Fred Taylor is your starting running back,
right.
and the rest of the committee kind of yeah. fills in.
Right.
In
so,
place
so really the decision
needed.
Was, do we keep Maroney or Taylor? And they decided to go with Taylor because they are their number one backs, whereas Morris and Falk are your – Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis.
I didn't mean to say that if I said it.
Yeah, okay. I don't think there was any chance. I know what you're saying, Fred. I don't think there was any chance that they were going to choose Maroney as the one guy.
Right.
Because I think they've been down that road for 4 years, and they know that ain't happening.
Right.
Now,
but my question
is Maroney, absolutely, as one of the committee. Maroney as the Fred Taylor lead guy, I don't think so.
Yeah.
my opinion. I don't, you know, maybe Bill thought differently. Maybe he did.
This trade will depend on the health, no question.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
if Fred Taylor is out for the next 6 weeks, starting on Sunday against the Jets, if some injury, you're going to look, wow, really?
And then whether or not they kept Maroney, that all depends on the offensive line, if any of them are effective.
Sure.
Yeah.
How come we didn't get Randy Moss to sit down with us? He did a lot of sit-downs yesterday with everyone, but not us.
I don't know. Maybe we're not Citibank?
He didn't tell us. That's Capital One.
It's Capital One. And you don't even... I thought maybe you'd go with the official bank of the New England Patriots, but you didn't say...
Well, I knew it wasn't.
Bank of America.
I knew it wasn't.
You chose to bring
up
a third option for everyone to do their banking. Good call, Fred. You're a company man.
There you go.
That was funny, his whole routine yesterday. It only started with what we talked about on the show on SportsCenter. He appeared locally at Faneuil Hall and evidently told everybody that he was doing it. He told
Channel
the Globe, told the Herald, Channel 4, Channel 7, Fox 25. Didn't tell the Patriots.
Did not tell Comcast didn't know about it. I was just asking the camera.
Didn't tell Comcast and didn't tell ESPN Boston.
Wow.
But more importantly, I really now kind of tend to think there's a chance this was all a media...
orchestrated.
Yeah.
It could
That's
be.
That's what I said yesterday.
Create a little uproar, Randy, on Sunday.
Sly like a
and
fox.
And on Tuesday, we'll have an event, Capital One, and you'll make $500,000 or something.
Yeah.
Straight cash, homie.
I think there's a chance.
Sly like a fox, if that's the case.
Yeah, but is it what you're looking for?
Oh.
And when notice, I mean the team.
Notice I'm being good, and I'm keeping my mouth shut.
About what?
That comment.
You can say you're against it.
I'm not against it, but you would be against it if it was Chad Ochocinco.
Are we going to start
Which,
that
by the
again?
Way, Marvin Lewis, did you see when he shot that down post-game? Somebody asked a question about, you know, could this be because of the distractions or something? And Marvin Lewis said, what distractions? And the follow-up, reading the transcript, is the reality TV distractions. And Marvin Lewis goes, you're clearly not from Cincinnati because everyone outside of Cincinnati makes way more big deal about that than we do.
Okay. Well, I'm clearly not from Cincinnati.
He also said that T.O. was going to get looked at about five different times, and that's just a bald-faced lie.
What do you mean looked at?
The reason
injury?
He went to the locker room early was because he wanted to get looked at, too. He wasn't getting looked at. He went to the locker room just to go to the locker room. There's no doubt in my mind. Ochocinco got an IV. T.O. was just being T.O. Because T.O., when they asked him about it, said, Coach said he'll handle that. I'm not answering questions on that. Coach said, oh, man.
He's
You missed it.
Bill.
That's not going to end well. Unless they go on this huge winning streak.
It's not starting well.
Yeah, unless they all of a sudden start winning a lot of games, that's going to be something fun to watch.
Do you want to take Bill, or do you want to just keep talking?
Oh, hey, let's put Bill on for a second.
Yeah, let's listen to
Bill Belichick's at the press.
We're going to have to play well, so got a lot to prepare for. They do a good job. They give you a lot of schemes to get prepared for on all three phases of the game, and have a lot of good players doing it. Well coached, tough physical team, so. Hopefully we can have a good week of practice and get down here and play well on Sunday. That's the goal.
Second year in a row now they've lost Jenkins for the year. How differently did they?
Well, he's a terrific player, but he missed what it was, 13 games last year or something, whatever it was, and they still lead the league in defense. So they're a great defense. Been a great defense without him. He's a great player, but they're still very good. What are the differences?
Well, he's a little louder and a little heavier. But how do you guys interact when you have interacted? You've spoken in the league a long time. His brother was one of your defensive coaches.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, everybody's got a different style, so I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I have a lot of respect for Rex and what he's done, and he's always been successful as a coach wherever he's been. And, again, I know Rob and his brother and his father, Buddy, of course. Buddy and I go back to when we were head coaches in the league together. I was at Cleveland. He was at Arizona. We practiced down there against the Cardinals and the Philadelphia Giants and all that. So, it's a great football family, very successful one. They kind of all have their own style, which is similar. And, I respect that. Like I said, Rob was here for 4 years, and, I haven't spent that much time with Rex, but, they're twin brothers, so, there's a lot of similarities between those two guys. We got along fine.
Can you describe your style?
No, I'll leave that to you guys.
Kids?
what led to the Maroney trade?
You know, I just felt like it was right time for us to move on. You know, I have a lot of respect for Lawrence. He came in, been here for 4 years, worked hard. I think he's improved a lot, and you know, has helped us a lot as a player. I think he would have helped us this year, but we just felt like it was time to move on. Felt like we got a good value on the trade, and so we made it in the best interest of the football team. But I'm sure he'll do well for Denver, and I think they got a good player and a kid that'll work hard for him. Yeah, well, we have four backs on the team, right?
Will there be a corresponding move since you're at 52
right now? Yeah, I'm sure by the end of the week we'll do something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would actually need to do something. So, yeah, we'll make a move here by the end of the week somewhere.
What have your thoughts been on Javaris James so far and what you've seen of his career at Miami?
You know, I think he's done a good job in the short time that he's been here. You know, picked things up. Was a hard-working kid. You know, seems like he's got some skill. You know, I thought he had a good preseason game. Or a good preseason, rather. Not a good preseason, but a good preseason. That's why we brought him here on the practice squad. So, you know, he's learning the system, picking up things. They're a little different from the way that he's done them before. But, you know, he's a smart kid, works hard, and so we'll see how it goes.
All right, we're back here in PFW in progress. Just thought we'd check in with the coach, who's doing a 12:15 press conference promptly, I might add.
He's screwing
But
us.
That's good to know. So now we'll,
yeah, you know, the day I assume
we'll
he's going to be
down,
there at 12:15, he'll be there at 12:40.
Going forward, Andy and I will come down. We'll start the show with you. Then we'll leave at about, you know, a little after 10 after.
Right. Until he decides that he's not doing it at 12:15 anymore.
Well, and then we'll have to make an adjustment then.
It is what it is.
10:30.
The same routine we had for like 8 years.
It's interesting because
they used to win Super Bowls when they had that routine.
The media, the media is a little bit off, and I know that people don't want to hear that. It's not woe is the media because it's not about that. But yes, you know, all of a sudden, last year, maybe 2 years ago, but I think it was last year, they started with a Tuesday schedule. Tuesday used to be an off day, completely off for everybody. Now they have a couple of conference calls. Belichick is one of his weekly. One of his weekly requirements is filled on a conference call on Tuesdays. Well, yesterday's conference call on a day that's normally an off day for guys that are covering the team, two questions.
Really?
That was the whole conference call. And at the end of the transcript, it said, this is the entire transcript. There were only two questions.
Wow.
It's so ridiculous.
So people aren't really I think people are adjusting, even though that's not new to 2010.
Right.
The Wednesday 12:15 is new to 2010, and we're getting used to it. Obviously, we're in the middle of our show. They don't know about. They don't. Nor do they care.
And then
the
locker
room
access coming at the end of the day. Most
on other days,
four sometimes
Monday,
4:30.
Oh, on Mondays.
Changes.
On Mondays, but that's
oh, that's
Mondays
always been that
Monday's
way.
Monday's always
right.
A fluid kind of day.
But having the locker room before Bill today is a little different. And I mean, I don't bitch because, like, I just bitch because it makes us personally. 12 to 2, we do the radio show.
I like to do the radio show, yeah.
And I like to bring information to the radio show. And
from Bill.
From Bill, and if I'm not at Bill, then what information? I don't want to become one of those guys like Dan Shaughnessy, who I show up once a month to cover the team and pretend I know everything. I like
Instead,
to try
you
to
just
know
pretend you know everything.
No, I like to try to have all the information and then pretend I know everything.
I'm with you. And it's not anything that's wrong. You know, that's why I said it's not an oh, woe is us kind
it's
of thing.
Change.
It's just
I don't like change.
Yeah, we you know, we kind of get
ingrained. And they won Super Bowls when they had that schedule.
Like, we
saying.
Like to have the show from 12 to 2.
16-0 when they had that schedule.
There were times, like, when we had those OTAs in the mini camps where, you know, the practice availability was right in the middle of the day. We had to do the show from 2 to 4.
But we don't have that option now.
But it's
unless we make John Rook do 12 to 2 and we do 2 to 4.
No.
Well, Fred's got a lot of meetings.
12 o'clock is when we do our show.
I know.
It's been that way since the
early
30s.
10:45 is when Bill did his press conference until he stopped doing it at 10:45.
What did you say? It's been that way since the early
30s? Yeah, we were on the air when they were bombing London. Remember that? We were, you know. So we can't change our noon time schedule.
A little.
It was like a snorkel.
Hey, I do have a programming note. I guess
yes, big news.
Should we announce it?
Yes, we should.
I
should have had him on the phone,
it.
Though.
We should. Yeah, can we get him on the phone? Can we effort that?
Maybe, but
we already have someone on the phone.
Starting, I'm gonna get to that person in a minute.
This is unbelievable. That the first touchdown. I have to interrupt you for a second. It was just unbelievable. It's like college or high school. The Patriots point to three guys out there, Crumpler, Gronkowski, and Welker, and the Bengals counter with only two guys.
Well, the funny thing is, it's like
the third guy
just
came over, but he came late.
Oh, no, but the funny thing is,
lined
it's like
up
they
way
assumed
on
lined
purpose.
Up wrong. It's like they assumed Welker always goes underneath across the middle, so we'll just leave the guy in there, and he'll meet him halfway. And right. yet he didn't.
Like, right. you see that in high school, like, where the kids don't know enough to say, well, I didn't go over this in practice.
Right.
I mean, like, you never see it in the NFL.
But the bigger issue is, when Wes Welker talked about the play and anointed G-Force one of the two best blockers on the team.
So anyway, the announcement. Starting on Tuesday, and every Tuesday through the season until the Patriots stop playing this year.
Or until he gets a better gig.
At 4 o'clock from 4 to 6, Pete Shepard, longtime radio pro, will have his own show called The Pete Shepard Show.
Pro? Who thought that up, you?
What?
The Pete Shepard Show?
Yeah. Sometimes the most direct route is the best way.
P.S. with Pete Shepard.
So he'll start this Tuesday, coming up, right after the Jets game, from 4 to 6.
Perfect timing.
Every
after the
Tuesday,
Jets game.
The Pete Shepard Show. Obviously, he'll be talking mostly about Patriots, but he's free to talk about any other sports topic
right.
he wants to
he's
talk
like
about.
He's like us. If there's a rant brewing
right.
in him, he
right.
cannot hold it back, so he's going to rant about something.
Right. So we're excited about that, to have him join the Patriots.com radio lineup. You know,
and he'll
we're
fit
hoping
right in.
We're hoping he does a little better than Shop Talk, but you know,
he will definitely do better than Shop Talk.
That's
literally a monkey could do better than Shop Talk.
That's going to be cool.
It's going to be great
because Pete is opinionated. He's passionate, and
he's like you, a homer.
Yeah. So I needed that balance because
it
was just me.
I think it balances.
So now we have a little balance on this network.
Because in the old days, when he was, you know, if people don't know, he was on WEEI, the Big Show,
right.
in Boston. And is no longer with them. But when he was on that show, he did the interviews with Belichick, and he was always seen as kind of a Brady rump swab. And
right.
you know, he played it up. They made fun of him for loving Brady, that whole thing. I hope he brings that. I think it'll be funny. And I would tell people to listen early on. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I would not be surprised if the guy who's holding a press conference right now takes part in the Pete Shepard Show at some point.
You never know.
He had a very good relationship with Pete. Obviously, Bill appreciated that he never said a critical word in his life, kind of like you. How come we don't get Bill on? You've never said a critical word.
That is somewhat
Paul
surprising.
And Andy.
See, that's where you're wrong. I have been critical. It's just that, you
really?
Know. Yes.
Did I? Well, I was out that day, I think.
At least I've been
told. Yeah, I think you can blame
that. At least
that
I've
on,
been told I have been.
I think you can blame that on
I think
on
if
me,
this became the
Andy.
Fred Kerr Show, you could get Bill to come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I think you'd have him on twice a week.
But
three times
I'm
on
not
Sunday.
Promising it, but I do think there's a legitimate chance you could hear Bill Belichick on the Pete Shepard Show.
All right.
It's like a wrestling-type team. I'm not sure.
A lot of emails.
Pete Rose would be at WrestleMania in Boston. That'd be crazy. He's in the chicken suit.
Paul and I had one of our arguments yesterday. Got a lot of emails about that.
One of the worst arguments that we've ever had.
I don't know. Hamza in Toronto says,
stupid
so
argument.
Tuesday show, oh boy, a half hour, Paul and Fred arguing with terrible audio quality and even worse logic. Where to start? Here's a little recap skit. Paul,
they helped you out, Kevin.
T.O. is definitely a cancer, but Ocho Cinco played great and works hard. Fred, Ocho Cinco should think about football and not let him get distracted by Bill Belichick's ass. Twitter is evil. Admit it. You love T.O., Paul. No, he doesn't. A little later, Paul and Andy. Fred, you made light of Welker's contributions. You said Welker caught, what, four touchdowns? Fred, nope, never. You're lying. I mean, I was drunk. I mean, I actually wanted to know how many he caught. That's all. I actually meant to say, wow, what, four touchdowns? That's amazing. But it wasn't all Fred. After that, the boneheadedness changed directions to the other side. Randy Moss is done. Sorry, Paul, but if you allegedly admit that you say stupid things, that should lead one of the things. 1,200 yards and leading the NFL with 13 touchdowns. Yes, Paul, done. And what's Paul's defense? Oh, I was just exaggerating to make a point. I actually meant he's done catching 23 touchdowns. Yes, Paul, he's done breaking the NFL record for touchdowns. He's done getting to a total never before achieved in 100 years of football. Totally the same thing is being done.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that if you're going to blame Fred for arguing three different things at different points in an argument, which you totally should, because let's face it, Fred checks down from his original argument more than Mark Sanchez, you can't then change your argument about what you meant by done in the middle of the argument.
I
either.
Was wrong.
It's only fair.
I was wrong.
Okay, rant over. Love the arguing. You guys are just want, that's with an O, Eric, get a little understandably irrational sometimes. Andy, way to stay out of it and come out looking the smartest. the guys who talk the most and the fastest has his best moment when he doesn't say anything.
Sucker, Hamza.
So there's
I'm just going to hold everybody to exact words from now on. I was wrong.
And then
Randy Moss is not done.
Sean says, going back to something that was said yesterday and today,
I love how Paul says
that he has absolutely no problem with Ocho Cinco tweeting during games and everything else he does. Can you imagine how bad he would slam Moss if he was tweeting on the sideline and doing all the other things that Ocho Cinco does?
I have no problem with what Randy Moss did yesterday, appearing on SportsCenter for his own business ventures. No problem at all. So doesn't have any effect on his preparation for the week.
There you go. That's Paul's rebuttal to that.
I resign.
I didn't mean resign.
I mean, if a guy's not working hard, you know, and we know players that have reputations of being late. Eugene Wilson was a guy here that there were a lot of guys in the locker room that would make veiled references to him not being all that studious. Rodney used to talk about
it all the time.
Bethel
Johnson when he's playing wiffle ball in the middle of the locker room.
I heard Willie McGinnis completely undress Bethel Johnson for not working hard and not doing the stuff that it takes off the field. If Randy Moss had that kind of a reputation and he was doing the stuff that he did yesterday, or Ocho Cinco had that reputation, I would be critical of it. But these guys have a reputation that's the exact opposite.
And they also
wouldn't
be who they were.
Hard-working, good teammates.
I know Moss is ridiculously physically talented,
yes,
but that's not enough. You don't have 23 touchdowns in a season by just showing up because I'm talented.
Yeah.
A lot of guys who have been very talented end up like Eugene Wilson and Bethel Johnson, not playing football very long in the National Football League.
See, but it seems like what we're saying is contradictory, but it's really not, because I think that T.O. doesn't necessarily do all that stuff all the time when he's doing his reality shows and all the other stuff. Now, physically, as Andy said, T.O. is a specimen. I mean, he's can't say he's out of shape. The guy's in ridiculous shape, but I don't know if he's doing the film work, the extra work on the field, catching the ball and getting timing down with the quarterback that Randy Moss does. I see it every day, and I certainly read the reports that Ocho Cinco's doing it his whole career. I've heard Bill talk about how hard a worker he is. That's good enough for me.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
On that line
now. And on the phone right now is Derek from the University of Arizona. Hey, Derek.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
G-Force.
Yeah, G-Force, baby.
Biggest block for one touchdown, beautiful hands for another. Difference between winning and losing. G-Force.
Absolutely. Great to see the red zone, too, of course. Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed Eric's not there today. I don't hear him. Is he there?
No, he's not. And I'm not disappointed.
Will he be here later?
He will be here later.
Oh, good.
He'll be by later.
Maybe you can just give him the transcript then.
Yeah, he likes transcripts.
I have no formal artistic training.
Well, you know, it's easy to make a knee-jerk reaction, you know, based off week one because there are so many unknowns, but you just really got to love what you saw from the team in all three phases.
Certainly is better than the alternative.
Absolutely.
Certainly for a team, though, that had so many questions. If you lay an egg and you're the 2003-04 Patriots, we know they're talented, we know they're going to win a lot of games, it's one thing. But if you lay an egg as a team that has all these young players, all these expectations, it can be even worse. They did the opposite.
Right. We're hoping that Cincinnati turns out to be a good team so that it means something.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but to me, the Patriots played a great game regardless of opponent. I mean, even if Cincinnati turns out to be 4-12, yeah, I know what you're saying, Fred. It might take away a little bit, but I'll still look at that game and say the Patriots,
their internal development, confidence/false confidence, whatever you want to deem it later, they did a good thing for themselves on week one, regardless of the opponent.
I agree, but the same things that I was worried about going into the season, I'm still
you should, because that doesn't wipe out everything else you know about the roster.
But that was about as perfect a first half as they could have played.
Great start.
I could not agree more. Also, there was one factor that I don't think you guys mentioned yesterday, and I apologize if you do, but it's the overall speed of the defense for me was, I mean, just so, it stood out so much. And, you know, Patrick Chung was flying around. He was one example of it. But I thought the entire defense just was flying around, and I know you guys have mentioned it, you know, on another show, and that is, you know, we all know that we've all heard the defense is getting younger, and now we saw a direct result of what I think is the youth injected into the defense, you know, which is the speed, because, I mean, everyone just looked like they were flying around.
Yeah, I would agree. I thought all, especially the defensive backs with Chung leading the way. He had 16 tackles. I guess he lost a few when coaches.
It went down to 9 when the coaches.
But he was clearly all over the field. I thought McCourty and Butler were running around and competing. I really thought the back end the front, you know, the Jermaine Cunninghams, I'm still kind of questioning how that is. Ninkovich, if that's
you, oh, yeah, you have speed. To question that.
Yeah, but I'm even saying speed. You know, does Cunningham bring speed and athleticism? Because I thought for his first effort, he kind of looked like he brought Derek Burgess. So,
yeah.
But
well,
obviously, the inside linebackers.
I don't think he has that burst yet.
Yeah, that's
he
what
has that first step.
That's what I'm wondering. But, you know, inside linebackers, both Mayo and Guyton, I thought were flying around out there. I thought Spikes played pretty well. He got his hand on one of the balls there. Could have had an interception, and everybody said, you know, is he fast enough to play in the league? Well,
yeah.
He's getting his hand on balls.
Yep.
It was funny. I actually thought Gary Guyton was Brandon Spikes for the first about, I don't know, 2 seconds, because my TV, I wasn't watching a high-definition TV for the first half of the game, so I was having a problem with my cable.
Well, you would have figured it out because he would have gotten tackled because he runs a 5.240,
right.
And despite the fact that everyone said, how often does an inside linebacker run 40 yards straight? Guyton had to run more than 40 yards straight down
59.
The sideline. He would have gotten tackled if it was Brandon Spikes.
Yep. Yeah, I know. That's why I was, like, so confused for a good 2 seconds. But, yeah, the offense looked really good. Yeah, it looked potent, balanced. And to me, the most impressive thing of the entire game, you know, was the third quarter, the drive that lasted about 8 minutes long to really close the game out. And it really was kind of Super Bowl era-esque, you know, of just a classic, you know, Patriot teams, you know, that just marched down the field and milked the clock and just took you for, like, just took all the wind out of the defense.
Yeah, the one thing I'd say, they didn't exactly milk the clock by running it, but they did it their style by putting together a long drive when they needed to step on the throat, which is what we talked about yesterday.
And I thought that was a very welcome sign after the second half struggles that we went through last year.
Everything, yeah.
You know, in closing games. Offensively, like we said, they moved the ball all game long, almost every game last year, but when they needed a drive to sort of salt a game away, sometimes they struggled doing it. It's nice to see the first try at it, they were able
and
to do it.
And not that the Bengals are the Colts,
no.
Or, but they might be. I mean, they may be the team that
right.
won. Not,
you never
not
know.
The Colts, but they may be the team that won 10 games a year ago and wins their division again and be a playoff team when you look at it at the end of the season when, Fred, you'll be looking at
that's
it.
That's right.
But the other thing, he brought up the offensive line and kind of the that's a physical Bengals defense. I don't know why they didn't look as good as I think they can be when they're on. I don't know whether it was game plan, preparation, whatever it may be. That's a physical defense, and I like when you see this offensive line match up with a physical defense because I think they're sort of undersized, some of them. Dan Copen's a little bit smaller. I think Matt Light struggles. He's not a big behemoth of a tackle, and I thought they looked competitive physically.
Thanks for the call, Derek. That's Derek from the University of Arizona. Here's a
G-Force.
Here's a question I have.
Best blocker on the team.
There was a time in the middle of the game where the offense started to, you know, they weren't producing like they did on the bookends, you know, in the beginning of the
well,
our offense. Our offense.
You're right. The second and third quarters, and they moved the ball a little bit, but they had one after the fumble recovery. I believe they went three and out and kicked a field goal, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe even missed a field goal.
They may have missed that one, but my point being, they were in field goal range. I think that. My point is they didn't drive to a missed field goal.
Right.
They recovered a fumble, went three and out.
I believe they did,
and
yes.
If they were on their own 25, they would have punted. But they missed a field goal. The two-minute drill at the end of the half, there was a minute left, I think, a minute plus left when they took over. That's usually the pretty easy three. Well, it's a 56-yard field goal.
Right.
They had to settle for it. They missed that one, too. And then they had a three and out basically because of a penalty at the start of the third quarter. And I think that was the only time they actually punted
in the game. The offense wasn't great.
The offense was good, but not great.
And
how
I thought
much,
some of the new aspects were great. Gronkowski, Hernandez had little contributions.
Defense in the first half, I thought, was great.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, if every week I'm watching Tom Brady not connect with Kevin Falk, that's going to become a problem because that was one of those knowns we've had in previous years.
It's funny because I thought I thought the exact same thing you just said.
I have a question.
Oh, okay.
Related to what I set this up, now I have a question.
Well, go ahead.
How much, if any, better will Julian Edelman make the offense? Would they have been any better in those periods if Edelman had been healthy?
Marginally. I don't know. I mean, it's another body. It's another versatility, but not.
Yeah, okay. I mean, does he even play if Welker is.
It may offer you some different sets. It may take Hernandez off the field.
Yeah.
Because they're both
someone's
got to
come off the field. That was productive the other day.
So it may take Hernandez out of the options.
Okay.
I think sometimes those reps will be similar in the slot for.
Yeah, that's my question. So maybe he doesn't help them be that much better when everyone else is healthy.
Well, but I think another option is always better, whether you choose to use it or not. It's nice to have.
It gives you change. Even He'll if it's three passes. Plays.
Was there anything lacking yesterday that he would have made a difference for?
I don't believe so.
Okay. That's kind of what I'm trying
Unless
to get
you
at.
Believe he's the third down back of the future based on training camp reps, and he would have caught the passes that were thrown to Kevin Falk. And I don't think we're ready to put him out to pasture. Skills may be diminishing, but it's not quite time.
By the way, did you see the piece on Falk on Patriots Today?
No, but
Patriots.
I heard he wasn't
com?
Wearing a seatbelt, according to SPFW.
I don't know. But did you see the piece on Patriots.com with Kevin Falk? Really nice. Really nice.
What did he do?
I mean,
why don't you talk about it a little
bit? He talked about redoing his vows with his wife. And, you know, it's not always that you get, you know, a male football player, saying those things on camera and being as emotionally honest as he was. I thought that
female
was nice.
Female football players line up dime a dozen.
You know, sometimes they do.
You know, us guys, we don't sometimes like to show our emotions.
I cried during my vows.
You cry all the time.
Oh, shut up.
He cried that day, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
But the first
you sure it wasn't Deirdre crying? Because, no.
Just so you know,
yeah.
Michelle Muse, our designer,
yeah.
cried. And she said she doesn't cry at anything.
Oh.
Which
I'm
don't think we
surprised.
Have a hard time believing.
webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
AT worked out for the Dolphins and the Jets this week.
Oh, I knew that. I was hoping he signed somewhere.
Well, reports in New York said it was NFL Network, I think, said highly doubtful that he'll sign with the Jets.
Well, Shalise had a thing on Twitter last night
from
the Globe. She said that AD did not visit the Jets this week.
Oh.
Well, it just said that he worked out for them.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Well, just so you
maybe
know.
He didn't go to
I'm
New York to work out.
Jason
Lockenfora. Maybe they came to him.
I don't necessarily
That's
trust
what I'm saying. Maybe he didn't go to New York to work out.
Right.
For maybe actually, some scout was out somewhere.
AD information? I have
I'll go
good
with
Shalise.
I think she's pretty tight with
I don't know
AD.
Jason Lockenfora from a hole in the wall.
And
he wears funny ties that don't reach the bottom of his belly,
I'll
tell you that
What I do know I
much.
Haven't been impressed with. I thought for, you know.
We're such frauds. If he were on the air right now, we'd be like, hey, Jason.
No,
you know,
I just
We obviously
think,
follow your work at NFL Network.
I think Schefter was.
Oh, kicked ass, took
yeah,
names.
Yeah, much more effective
And you
in
hate
that role.
Lockenfora because he
I don't hate
twits
him.
Wrong.
I said I was annoyed
he was doing
during
play
the Monday
the
night
game
because he was using Twitter to do play-by-play.
That's
not
just
the,
stupid.
Yeah.
I love when Fred tells you how you should and shouldn't use the social media.
Are there automated Twitters?
I don't know. I don't think Twitter
that
allows that.
Well, I was wondering if the NFL should have an automated Twitter feed that Twitters the play-by-play. They put it into Jesus, not the person. But
I know.
Yeah,
you
know.
NFL
I see what
Jesus.
Yeah.
They could put, and those can't be more than 140 characters, you know.
Right.
Tom Brady, right pass,
right.
Kevin Falk, 3 yards to the 32. Mm. Should Twitter have an auto feed? I mean, NFL have an auto tweet on whatever.
I don't know.
Somebody, I watched.
Wait, I think NFL would rather have you just come to NFL.com and get it.
I watched a movie last night called Couples Retreat or something.
Yeah.
And Vince Vaughn used my Twitter
really?
Blank joke in the movie. I think he took it from me.
Earlier, I was trying to think of the running back that got hurt. It was in Denver. It was Lindale White who tore his Achilles.
So they had to replace one first-round bust with another. Was he a first-round pick or a second?
Yeah, Lindale White is a much bigger bust than
that's
Marone.
Ken in New Mexico
Certainly
tells
raw.
Us that. He also says Maroney wasn't much of a backup for an oft-injured running back core anyway. He was oft-injured and currently injured.
I agree with that. I do. It's not a huge deal. The only thing is, last year, there were 6-7 weeks that he was the only really running back that was active. When Taylor and Morris were banged up there in the middle of the season, Taylor longer than Morris, but that could happen.
Yeah.
I just want to maintain my...
But I agree. He's been hurt a lot.
And Ken finally says, so now we're less than 53 players. Mankin coming back. Can we get Morrell back on the team? Or we don't have just three outside linebackers?
Observations from the locker room, Freddie.
Yeah.
Morrell's locker is still
intact
as we like to say from the Roman Pfeiffer days.
Him.
We didn't see him, though.
Okay. But my guess would be somebody is practicing right now that Eric will up... Well... Hopefully, Eric will update us on when he comes here, when he comes by later.
All right. Well, let's
he has time.
Let's take a break, and
if you don't mind.
Pizza has arrived. We'll be right back.
When the boss says it.
Those that want Patriot Talk with other talk radio stations are talking other stuff. Go to Patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay. Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on a New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We don't have any catchy jingles. We should probably get some jingles for the show. You know, Patriots, PFW in progress.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Oh, just stepped on my headphone cord. All right. What were we talking about?
The Patriots hanging between my legs.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Kevin, you're doing a fine job. Take the next 5 minutes off.
Best show ever for Kevin Collins behind the desk. No problems to open. Got the food in time. A rare good day.
We're doing good.
This is kind of like Lawrence Maroney. You know, every once in a while he flashed a good day, but he never lived up to expectations, and eventually we had to cut ties with him. I see the same future for Kevin.
Speaking of that, Larry the Drunk writes in, so guys, Maroney's gone. Thank Lord. Waste of a roster spot. He's got good feet for a pansy, he says. He can come over here and audition for Riverdance if he wants. Speaking of roster spots, who will take his? I'm not worried too much about the backfield. Seems strong enough, although a lot of bodies over 30. Perhaps we'll lean towards passing a lot early to keep these guys fresh for late season bad weather games and the playoffs if we get there. Now, guys, I'm hungry, so to quote Sexy Rexy, let's get a snack.
It's a goddamn snack, I believe.
Yeah.
Right? Although they bleep out one of those words, so I probably shouldn't have just said it.
Right. So what do you think? I
think Morrell is the most likely candidate.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they may have even told him, we got this trade going down, we need to activate Ojanaka. Because if you don't activate Ojanaki, he's off your team, right? So maybe you say, we'll cut you and we want you back next week. But don't go anywhere. Your locker will be, as Paul Prill likes to say, intact at Gillette Stadium. But I've been wrong before. It could be, a practice squatter. It could be out of the blue. Maybe they'll add another tackle. They seem to be in love with adding offensive linemen this year.
Ski Racer writes in, let's not get fat and satisfied after week one. We still need Aaron Schobel to pressure
for Paul.
We still need Aaron Schobel to pressure opposing QBs. Yes, he said he retired, but Jason Taylor also said he'd play in Miami. Things change. Use some of that Mankins money to make Schobel an offer he can't refuse.
I don't want a guy who doesn't want to play.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't think he's that good. I've never been an Aaron Schobel guy. Take away his games against Matt Leighton. What was he? I don't know. I've just never loved him. I've never thought he was like...
He's certainly not worth throwing extra money at to lure out of retirement.
Right. Now,
I think he's a good, solid player.
And
I
I've
do.
Said all... Without the baggage of retirement, I would take him. I said all along I would take anybody. But to me, that's baggage I don't want to deal with. I didn't really want to deal with it when Derek Burgess may or may not have had baggage.
Yeah, I didn't want him back. And when Buffalo released him in early August or whatever it was, I absolutely was interested in signing him. And I think the Patriots actually did look into it based on reports from Mike Reese. So I'm all for that. I think more of Schobel probably than you do, but I agree. He's not a star. He's not a Jared Allen, difference-making pass rusher.
It's not Brett Favre. I'm not going to lure him out. He's the difference between us winning and losing.
I think he's a definitely solid, good player who would help this pass rush, but he's not worth throwing extra money at to lure out of retirement. If he wants to retire and that's what he's done, you let him do it. I mean, that old adage, I think, about retirement is very accurate. Very few of these guys that are that close and thinking about it, Brett Favre had a great year last year and all that, but I don't think there's a lot of guys that are that close to retirement that come back and make a true difference.
Freddie,
I mean,
did you watch?
Even Seau, who is going to be a Hall of Famer.
He did nothing his last 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, really,
But, and he was also Bill's guy, and there was a little different. I don't even know how Schobel would fit in the locker room or any of that. Did you watch the Cowboys game the other night when we left here? Did you see any, or were you watching it here?
I watched the end of it, I guess.
There was some DeMarcus Ware plays that you really see what Bill's looking for. He's in the backfield 1 minute. The next snap or two snaps later, there's a throw to the tight end out in the flat, and he's there to tackle the guy the second he makes the catch for a one-yard gain. And you say, that's what Bill's looking for.
Yeah.
But there's a reason he's DeMarcus Ware, too.
I was on the Cowboys' website. I often go
Why
to
are you helping them?
Teams that I hate, when they lose a game, I go to their website the next day to see how they handle it. And
you are psychotic on so many levels.
I am. I admit it. But Jerry Jones, I guess, has kind of like his version of Tom Brady on EEI. They call it the Jerry Jones Show, but it's only like 10 minutes long on a local radio station. So he calls in and they interview him. And he flat out criticized his coach, said that Wade made the wrong call, but he's one of the best game callers there is, so let me say that. But he made the wrong call, and it was just interesting. And then he got snippy with one of the hosts.
Who he probably owns the station or something.
Because he said, and so then the host goes, well, Jerry, I'm just curious. He goes, no, I'm not curious, okay? I just said he made the wrong call. There's nothing curious about it.
Jerry Jones.
Can you imagine how long I would last with that kind of
owner?
10 minutes.
I was thinking you'd be that kind of owner. Call him to throw your coach under the
bus. Well, I'll tell you. I remember when Victor Kiam bought the Patriots. Obviously they were going through all kinds of problems. And Victor Kiam, and he's supposed to be, at that time, the savior. And he, understand him. He's excited. He's now the owner of an NFL team. So he decided, I'm going to go on these radio shows. And then there was a nighttime show with Upton Bell, and it was a roundtable TV show at night, and he decided he was going to be a permanent member of the show. That lasted about 2 months until things started going really wrong. And then you can't be out there. If you're in an ownership position and you're in charge of hiring and firing coaching staff, you can't be out there saying anything.
Right.
Because when you say something, when things are good, they're great. But when things are bad, when you stop saying things, your silence says as much as.
Right. Which is why, in and of itself, 1 week saying he's a great play caller, game management guy, but he screwed up this time is fine. But if he screws up 3 weeks in a row, how does it handle? Do you still say
it? You're better off not
and
going
so,
on these shows.
Right.
Don't do the show.
Silence can be the best.
I noticed the Colts stopped doing the Bill Polian show. No longer on.
I'm stunned by that.
Yeah.
Because he's another one that can't help himself.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting.
I hate him.
What goes around comes around. They're all getting it.
I can't that believe after ridiculous. 1 week, this is how you're going to be. They could get their asses whooped by the Jets on Sunday.
Or, you know, any other game. I mean,
just no, but I mean as quick as the way he 4 days from now.
The way he rolls.
Can I just say it right now so that when I say it after the game, if it happens, you guys don't say, oh, blah, blah, blah. I thought for the Patriots, it was more important to beat the Bengals than the Jets. I said that last week.
I think we all agreed on
that. I am fully prepared.
I don't know if I agree with it.
Well, I'm fully prepared for the Patriots to lose this game.
I think the Bengals game was important.
I'm not saying that I'm picking the Patriots to lose.
But it's a division game as opposed to a non-division game. I'm not sure
mentally,
it was more important.
Mentally, I'm prepared for the Jets to do something to the Patriots offense to really give them a lot of trouble. And so I'm not going to be after that game if the Patriots lose.
And I'll give you credit.
The other end of the spectrum.
I'll give you credit for something you said earlier in the show, Fred, that I agree with. We were very pleasantly surprised with some of the answers that we saw on Sunday. But we still have a lot of those questions. 1 week doesn't answer every one of those things.
Right.
We saw signs that there's some players here that can help. What if that's good.
We got to remember. Uh-huh.
What if it's 56-3?
Next week?
I know you're prepared to lose, but what if you get embarrassed?
Oh, then that's different. Okay. That's different. Okay. But
there's no chance.
You know, remember that.
I don't think so either, but I'm just saying, what if
there's
it is?
There's no way that that team can move the ball.
I couldn't be any more low. I think the lowest I've ever been, besides the game that shall not be mentioned, was after Lawyer Malloy got released and they lost that game against the Bills. I mean, I was suicidal. And if you look at that game, that's the first game of the season, you know, and you were to judge the season on that, you'd be, oh, my God, we're in for a long season.
That's a great point.
You know?
Because I fell right into that. Andy fell right into that.
No, I didn't.
You're an idiot. You really
Bill
are.
Tells us all the time, you know, not to put too much into this. You know, he likes to go, 6-8 weeks?
Right.
You know, but at least I think you got to give it a
– race, the quarter poles.
At least you got to give it a month.
Yeah.
You know, and look – And there's a lot of good football teams that most people – I shouldn't say good football teams because you're right, Fred. We don't know yet. There's a lot of teams that most people think are good that lost.
Right.
And there's a lot of teams that most people think are bad that won.
Right. Do you really think the Cowboys are going to finish last in the NFC East? I don't. You know, but right now they're in last place.
You had teams like, you know, Tampa Bay and Seattle, and, you know, Arizona –
Do you really think the Niners are going to keep losing like that and not go to the Super Bowl like you predicted?
Kansas City. These teams are all 1-0.
They can't even get the plays into the quarterback on time.
Speaking of that, Aaron Salkin cornered me yesterday. He goes, are you kidding me? The 49ers?
Oh, I told you. Yeah. He's going to be raring to go
for
you.
I think he's right. After I talked to him, I think he convinced me that I was wrong on that one. I should have went with Seattle.
I can't believe
your two choices for Super Bowl picks were the Niners and Seattle.
I said that Seattle is going to
Why are you just ignoring the good teams?
Did you read what I wrote?
I can't believe you didn't pick the
Seahawks. No, you didn't.
The Seahawks.
I said Seattle's going to have a great year. Unfortunately, so are the 49ers.
Wait a minute. Where did you write this?
Where did you write that?
Just write your Super Bowl
pick. PFW thing.
There's no place to write.
I wrote it. Right. Read it.
I can't. There's no place
to
read it.
No, because I said most underrated, Pete Carroll, head coach. I said They're going to win a lot of games. Unfortunately, this is the 49ers' year.
But why is it between the Niners and the Seahawks for your Super Bowl pick?
I said just in that division is what I was talking about.
The Super Bowl involves all divisions.
And I picked the 49ers.
And you just said I should have gone with Seattle.
I should have went with Seattle, yes.
Why is it between Seattle and the 49ers and not the other three good divisions in that conference? Why do you take
that's a terrible division, and you're saying that the best team in that division will be the Super Bowl representative.
You never know.
I'm not saying it's impossible.
You want to bet right now?
It would be a pretty good upset.
You can have the Seahawks and the Niners. I'll take the field.
Yeah. Well,
I'll give you your two first. Yeah. No. You got your first two picks. Yeah. You picked Woods and Mickelson. I'll take the field.
If you had read what I wrote, all I was writing about was in that division.
Why don't you just give them two teams? Make him pick two teams. No. You have the Niners and Seahawks. He can take two others.
I don't think the Seahawks will be able to do it.
Oh, okay.
So then why are those your top two choices?
In that division, idiot.
About the Super Bowl. You picked the Niners to go to the Super Bowl, and you said, you just said I should have gone with the Seahawks.
What?
No, you should have gone with either the Vikings,
I know,
the Saints,
but
the Packers,
the
Cowboys.
It's one or the other. I'm not saying that, you know, in that in picking that, you don't say that they both will go or that it's if it's not this team, it'll be the other team.
Your logic would work if you thought the best division in football was the NFC West, with the two best teams in football being the Eagles and Niners. It'd be like if the Patriots and the Colts from the mid-2000s played in the same division and you said, I picked the Patriots. I should have gone with the Colts because they're going to be the better of those two that year.
It was definitely – I mean, it was obviously a shot.
You just want to admit you had no logic involved with your selection to move on.
I just said – I was just about to say if you would just shut up for a second.
Well, you're telling me to read something that doesn't exist. There is no place where we write about our Super Bowl pick.
Is he going to just shut up and let me talk?
That's what he does.
I just was about to say it was an obvious shot-in-the-dark pick. And I always – I do that – and. I always try to have at least one dark horse pick because every year there is a dark horse team. So you might as well try to figure out who that team is.
And you think it's coming from the worst division in football.
I'm going to say if I hadn't picked the 49ers, I should have picked Seattle. As that dark horse pick, yeah.
So as the dark horse is definitely going to the Super
Bowl. No, but that's all I would – I mean – do you have to take it so, you know, seriously? God.
A little more seriously than you do, apparently.
It was just a...
Welcome to Tuesday afternoon's PFW in Progress.
It was just a shot.
Playing the role of Paul Perillo today will be Andy Hart.
It's just a shot. Every year there's some team that no one expects. And I try to figure out who that team is.
But just flippantly, apparently. You don't really care.
A lot of people...
You're not putting any logic behind
a lot
it
of people,
because you're just going with another sucky
a
team.
A lot of people thought the 49ers were a chic pick this year.
Okay.
You know, after talking to Aaron, I think they're all wrong.
But the chic pick should have been the Seahawks.
I think that Pete Carroll's, what I wrote, if you had read it, was that Pete Carroll's going to win more games than people thought and that he's underrated because I think he's been around the block now.
And he may very well win that.
He's
division.
Learned a
How
lot.
How many games do people think Pete Carroll's going to win?
I think they think he's going to be a losing coach.
So you think he'll have a winning record? I'll go 8-8.
Yeah, I think he's going to be probably 9-7, 10-6.
And he may very well do that. If he's going to win the division, he is.
He's off to the right foot, on the right foot.
They won a home game against a bad team.
All right. Well, a lot of people thought, again, a lot of people thought the 49ers.
You.
Not just me.
Listen, Fred.
Not just me.
I'm going to speak from someone who actually picked the 49ers to win that division.
Me.
A lot of people think that the 49ers will win that division at 8-8. That's what a lot of people said. You can call them a chic pick, but they weren't a chic pick to do anything more than win that division.
Okay.
Right?
I'll take the Packers.
Everybody thinks they were going to go 8-8.
I'll take the Packers and the Saints. You take the Seahawks and the Niners.
Well, thanks. I think you'd have a big advantage. Look.
So then why, after the 49ers fail, do you go, second pick?
Do I have to like spell it out for the 3-year-old big head? It was a dark horse pick. I don't think they're better than the Saints or the Packers.
So you just at random pick a bad team every year because you want to include one bad team that may be good.
Well, I try to look at, you know, are they on the rise, how they finished the year before, those types of things. You know, I try to look at certain things.
So those are all the same for the Seahawks and the Niners. They're interchangeable. They're both right on the
Seahawks is more of a random pick. Seahawks is only because I like Pete Carroll. That's the only reason.
Okay.
That's more of a just.
That's fair.
You know, that's the only reason I would.
That's the most logical thing you've said yet.
Well, if you let me speak. And listen.
Well, no, I was going to read it.
You know, his head is so big, but his ears are so small.
That's a good line. That's well done.
That's where he keeps his big brain.
Curdy writes in, how do I listen on my smartphone? Well, just listen with your ears.
Stop being a dumb person.
No, you got to get the
app. Do you have small ears, too?
No. How do I listen to the Patriots game? You can't.
He didn't read it properly and made fun of them.
Can you listen to the Patriots on the phone?
I'm not one to. In this day and age, probably.
I'm not sure.
If you go to one of those sites on your iPhone.
Yeah.
You're talking to someone who's never listened to anything on a phone.
Oh, by the way.
Eric?
Once we do this Verizon conversion, which, you know, I can say that because they're a sponsor, right?
I've been going for years.
I'm getting you guys phones.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've actually talked with
which
Paul.
Which means... The deal is...
We have to answer it when you call?
Yes. And you have to do the Twitter. I don't mean you have to tweet, but you have to follow what people
are
saying.
Oh, I have no problem with that. We've actually mentioned we didn't think you'd spring for all phones. We would have at least one that we could all...
Yeah, no.
Because there's so many times...
We're not going to have a community phone.
We're out in the tent and somebody goes, oh, did you just see Schefter tweeted...
So in a week or two, whenever they do this thing, I'm going to get your phones.
So does this mean I can cancel my personal phone? How's this work?
Maybe.
Do I get a phone?
But here's the deal, and this is not me. This is company. anything on that phone, the company owns anything. Contacts, emails, that's company property. So you might, you know, like, that's fine. If you're okay with that, you can get rid of your personal phone. But just so you know, when we take the phone, we take the phone.
And I can't get my contacts?
No, you have to download them before, you know
no,
what I'm
I
saying?
Don't need the phone. I'm saying, yeah. Can
you,
I?
You mean you have to download everything before they're going to fire you? Yeah. What are you trying to say here?
Well, that's kind of what I'm
asking.
I'm
not planning on having my
Yesterday
my
you told me to send my resume to a place,
terminated.
And today you've told me what they do. I didn't say which place. It's not out there
You
yet.
Did.
Okay. All right.
Wait a minute.
Wait, is that not appropriate? What?
There's nothing inappropriate about this.
I don't know. Really? Do you want to be talking about that?
No, I'm actually more concerned as to why you don't want us to be here anymore.
Right. Back-to-back days, you told me resume and what happens when we fire you and take your phone away.
Yeah, I think we should get into that.
Because I do want to know, can I just download my contacts and get the list of numbers?
I think so, yeah.
You think so, or I can?
Yeah,
I
speaking of that.
When the guy has his arms crossed behind my cube and is staring at me,
Freddie,
I want to be able to know.
I don't know what kind of phone
is there
it
a thing
is.
About transferring from an iPhone to a BlackBerry? That is harder than the other way around?
Shouldn't be. What are you transferring? Just
like
your
contact? All your information.
See, your contacts, aren't they stored on your laptop, too?
I have no idea.
Because that's where you're transferring it down from. You're not really you're not going from phone to phone. You're going from where your contacts are stored, and that's usually your computer.
I thought it was on your SIM card.
Well, it is, but...
Use my one thing I knew.
See,
and
I can throw the terms around too, idiot, but I don't know what it means.
Normally, you sync up with your laptop.
Here we go.
And
I don't do
so
that.
Now instead of syncing.
Well, they did say that he could download from his, it's my nephew who has an iPhone.
Yeah.
And he wants, excuse me, a BlackBerry.
Right.
Well, I guess they said.
I thought iPhones were the coolest thing ever.
I don't know why he
wants to
change.
Make calls now. He decided he wanted to
I,
actually
I have
make
no
phone
idea
calls.
Why he wants to change, but I should mention, Fred, that he in the opener last week for Bishop Fenwick High School lost to Saugus, but he caught 16 passes for 167 yards.
Holy crap.
It's a school record.
To which I pointed out, Fred.
That's great.
I just wanted to point out, Wes Welker does that. What's that, 10 yards a catch? That's what Paul's response is. His nephew does it, and it's a great game.
It's more than the 8 yards a catch that Welker had.
But like Welker, didn't get in the end zone, right?
As
Fred would say, what did he have, 0 touchdowns?
He had a 2-point conversion.
James in Pittsburgh has some ideas for us. We should be talking football, but
yes,
anyway.
Can we – wait, before we get to that, that's
– what?
We also need to talk about the Tom Brady contract because Ron Borges had a – did you see this, Fred, in the Herald?
Well,
the breakdown of the
everybody
contract.
Everybody had it. Ian had it.
Did he – well, Ian gets it from Ron.
Oh, like Mike where Reese he gets had it.
Did he? Because
yeah.
All I saw from Mike Reese was bonus money and, like, three things. I'd never seen the detail that Ron Borges had from this contract. Looks like it was cut and pasted out of a contract. And one reason I know that is because I didn't really understand it. Because it was
a complicated proposal.
So much language and all this stuff. But one of the details of it I did pick up was, of the signing bonus, $10 million of it is deferred to next August, to which Borges writes, in parentheses, consider that Tom Brady's own personal lockout insurance. That makes no sense to me. Lockout insurance would be the $10 million in his pocket today in his Capital One online banking account with Randy Moss earning interest, right?
I don't see how that could be perceived
that's
as a positive.
Insurance. I don't have to pay it until we may actually be making money again next August.
Right. I don't see how you can perceive that as a positive for Brady.
Getting your money later rather than sooner.
Well, it's not a bad thing.
Maybe he meant it was lockout insurance for the team.
No, he wrote Tom Brady.
Well, it's guaranteed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not lockout insurance for anybody.
The only way it's good is if you're one of these idiots that gets their bonus and then a couple
goes out
months
and spends
later
all of it at
is
once.
Saying, can I get an advance on next year's because I actually already spent my money.
And I think we can all agree that Tom
Tom's
Brady
not
is
that.
Not one of those
and
guys.
And even if he were, I don't think G would let him do it.
See,
Tom, where's that $16 million?
I kind of, you know, besides being Tom Brady and having a problem with all this info out there, I kind of have
Whoa, how are you sure Tom Brady has a problem with it?
The details.
I generally
like that?
Assume details come from one of two sides.
Well, no. Look, if you have access to the Management Council website, which all teams do, you can get all this info. And
I've never seen anything like this. I've been doing this.
I know.
For over
and
a decade.
To me,
I've never seen
I think
this
is a bad move by Borges, and I'll tell you why. I think it's a journalist's job to get that, you know, details of contracts out there. But when you go to that level of detail. Now it's very clear that someone gave Borges access to something he shouldn't have, and that's not going to be good. Yeah, it's going to get that person in trouble. and he shouldn't have gone into that level of detail.
Shouldn't have used so many colons and semicolons in the description of it.
That's just my opinion.
No, I agree with you, but no matter what you get for the details, it clearly came from someone that gave it to you.
But someone who has access to that contract online. But
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Now, I agree with you. The more detail you put in there, the more glaring you're throwing someone's nose in it and potentially losing that source. You're absolutely right.
Yep.
Absolutely right.
The other issue is, and I know you don't like me to go down this road, I maintain it's a team-friendly contract. The more I see the details and the guarantees, the way I read it, this is potentially, after this year, you gave him some new money, but it's a two-year, $40 million extension that you can part ways with him after the third year from now. $20 million a year for Tom Brady for me for a couple more years is going rate. I mean, that's sounds like a lot of money, but it's going rate. And I'm not on the hook, really, because there's, you know, year two and three, there's like $9.7 million salaries, $5 million roster bonuses. There's also, this is the laugher of the contract, $250,000 workout bonuses each year.
Like you'll ever see that money.
Well, but somebody else said, though, that I think it was Breer who was analyzing all this, too, that it is backloaded, so there'll be, you know, the Patriots will see penalties if they were to cut Brady. Brady may not see the money, but that money would get accelerated. It would hurt their cap if they were to cut
the roster bonuses.
What money?
Anything. No,
that's what Briss.
He got $16 million in a signing bonus. So over
a
4-year deal, that's a $4 million proration from that money.
Backloaded means the bigger salaries are at the end of the deal. That's not going to be accelerated if they cut them.
Well,
they won't.
I don't
have
think
to pay
there'll
it.
Be much cap hell. Because of the fact that they'd be saving $14.75 million combined salary and roster bonus. Saving. Yeah. That's the savings. So you can eat $6, $8 million proration. You know what I mean? There's a net difference there of saving $6-plus million. And you've had Tom Brady for your two seasons where you thought he was still valuable. I still maintain this is a team-friendly. I don't think he got hosed. I don't think he got... And the other thing now is people, because he got money this year, he got a bump in salary and a bonus this year. Now people are considering it a 5-year, $78 million deal. So it lowers that number from the 18 to 50,
the average annual value.
15-7 change. He's no longer, if you use that, the highest ever.
The highest
because those other guys were over 16, Manning, Eli, and Rivers. But I maintain all along, good deal for both sides. They both got some money, and clearly they want to do business. This is a negotiation where both sides are comfortable. I think the Patriots got a good deal for Tom Brady here. Very good deal.
And it's a good deal for Tom, too. I mean, he does get a good amount of money and all that, and he has the opportunity.
We thought he was going to break the bank because he's Mr. Union, and no more $60 million deals, and no more leaving money on the table, and home. All the phrases that people like to throw around, we thought those had gone. I don't think they're gone. I think they were effective in this deal.
But he also sets himself up to sign another deal before his career is over if he is still productive.
At Tom Brady, age 37.
If he's still productive.
At age 37.
Absolutely. Well, you think he's going to play until he's 40-something.
I do, too. And Tom Brady does, too, and I think that hurt Tom Brady.
Hell no.
Tom Brady, in the back of his mind, says, 37? If they don't want me, someone will want me because I'm still playing until I'm 40 or whatever.
Right, he set himself up to get another contract. That's all I'm saying.
And I think the Patriots, 100 times out of 100, will take players setting themselves up to hit the free agent market again at 37.
Yeah, I think that there's a
large
difference
element. Between Richard Seymour setting himself up, 29 was when he was going to hit it again, or 30, right there.
Yeah.
That's different than 37.
The one real
That's
thing
a big eight
that
year span
I,
there.
I didn't understand, and I heard Ron talk about the deal this morning, is the thing that Andy said about that bonus. That is it 10?
$10 million,
$10 million
next August.
Look, I don't think there's anything wrong with it for anybody concerned. I think it's fine. I think that probably the Crafts wanted it that way so they could more easily spread it out a little bit, just financially. And for Brady, what's the difference if I get it all at once? I don't need every ounce of it up front at once, but as long as I get it.
Right. It's guaranteed, but he could make money on it. I mean, if you invest
$10 million
for the next 11 months.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is I don't think that's a huge deal for a guy that's made the kind of money that he's made in his career.
Oh, yeah. None of it is. Yeah.
I don't see how that's a positive for him.
I'll tell you who it's a positive for in my mind. Us that work in the NFL and us that like the NFL, because on some level, to me, I took it as Robert Kraft thinks there'll be business next August, September, and he'll be making money again when he makes this $10 million payment. I took it as a good sign.
There's actually owners' meetings today.
But they made it out to be
in New York. Yeah.
They made it out to be on that radio show that it was great, really smart of Brady. And I didn't really see what's so smart about it.
There's nothing smart about it. It's okay.
It's not any insurance. He's getting it regardless. Either he gets 16? Was he going to get 16 at once, or six, and then 10?
I believe it's 10 of the $16 million was deferred till
August. What's the difference for Brady? It's not smart to defer your payments.
In fact, it's dumb. If you want to get down to basics, whatever.
I don't think it's a bad thing, Fred. It's not a big deal, but Borges goes out of his way to paint it as a great thing. Well, it was actually John Dennis.
Smart, but Borges agreed with him. But he was reading
Borges.
He was clearly reading from Borges's box, right in front of him. So. That wasn't John Dennis. Let's not give him any credit. He was reading right out of Borges' words.
Okay.
Dennis doesn't deserve any credit anyway.
I think it's
wrong.
Did
you say we had dessert?
No.
No, we didn't have it yesterday when I ordered cookies either. But,
by the way, Andy.
Kevin had a good day today.
No,
those
were ordered. They just don't have the hot ones anymore. They just have those.
Yeah, I'll take the cold ones.
They didn't have any chocolate chip either.
I'll take whatever they have.
All right. I wouldn't.
So... they had like Butter Crunch or something.
Oh, those are okay. I actually do eat those.
All right.
But
fat guy will take anything.
Like, nothing can get us off subject like
food.
Get us off. That guy will cut that up.
Easy.
But if you really want to boil it down, it's dumb for Brady because he cost himself some portion of money because he could have turned $10 million
interest
into
money.
Yeah, what's the lowest possible interest rate? The safest thing he could do would be 0.25% or something he'd make on that. And I'm sure he would make more than that somehow.
I mean, that's what people like us make.
Right.
My only point.
Do I have overdraft protection on this?
The only point I was trying to make is I don't really see any scenario that you could paint it out as being a really smart thing for a player to do.
Let's paint it as smart for Robert Kraft, the same guy that Borges said got stupid in the Logan Mankin situation.
Right.
I think it's smart for Robert Kraft. He doesn't have to pay the money, and if there's a lockout, it's different.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. I did want to. This is interesting. James writes in. He's from Pittsburgh. He says, I have to admit that your show has gotten really entertaining. Actually, good enough to maybe take it to the next level. Have you ever thought of taking the entire lineup to Sirius XM with your show being the anchor?
Yeah.
Having it play on several formats, not just the internet, may be a game changer. I could see Patriots Radio starting a trend of other sports teams adding a channel to Sirius's lineup, basically a win-win. Also, your show really needs to be 4 hours, 4 times a week. You've proven during the offseason that you don't need to talk about the Patriots all the time to be entertaining. Basically, your Patriots fans talking about the Patriots and other things that are important to you. The banter between all of you is so fun to listen to that you may win over new listeners on satellite and don't normally listen to internet radio programming. And don't forget the option of taking on emails and phone calls from people who don't like the Patriots to give more energy to the show. There is also the benefit of quality control of the satellite radio engineers. Too many F-ups going on right now at your station, getting pretty frustrating. The show could use some new operating procedures to ensure the highest quality. Want to hear some really bad quality? Listen to the NFL Network. Major volume differences between commercials and games. Keep your remote handy to keep changing levels. And
Kevin's riding a roller coaster behind the glass. First, he thought he was joining a show that was going to
hitching
Sirius.
His wagon.
Oh, then he found out he wasn't included in that, but he's still better than NFL Network, a major TV network.
But I don't think any of us, we all have so many other portions of our jobs that we couldn't.
I could certainly carve out space.
Well, I think if we went to Sirius XM, we would have to have somebody devoted to the paper. Yeah,
not
to the station.
I just want
to
thank. We're devoted to this.
Right.
I want to thank James for ignoring the last half hour of yesterday's show.
Some people thought it was entertaining. P.S. said James.
I can't
from
imagine
Pittsburgh.
How.
Years ago, a female reporter interviewed Bill, and Bill suggested she read some books prior to the interview to be prepared. Do you know what books he suggested? Do you have any suggestions for learning more about the game and about the Patriots? Well, Patriots United is the first book you want to start with as far as reading.
I can get you a deal on
it. Was that
it.
Serious? Like Bill, yeah, I guess Bill so. Chastised someone? Or was it just a suggestion?
Yeah, it might have been just a suggestion.
Like she asked something about...
Yeah, I think... The tone of that told me it was a suggestion.
Okay. Because I never heard anything
like that. Well, I'll tell you a book, Fred, that I am reading right now. It's a little dry, so I only got through the first two pages.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And I can't think of the principles of scouting methods. Steve Belichick's book.
Right.
Came back into reprint, so I ordered a copy. It was like $12.
Yeah.
Started reading it. It's amazing.
Really?
You would think Bill Belichick wrote it. The
really?
Philosophy of Bill Belichick is Steve Belichick. Like, just the whole wording, it feels like Bill. It's
well, there's a good suggestion. What it's called, the principles of scouting?
I don't know. Scouting methods. I believe it's scouting methods.
Well, it's Steve Belichick's book.
Just Google on Amazon or whatever.
Okay.
Google on Amazon. Steve Belichick. It's back in publication, back in reprint.
Scouting methods.
Bill Polian lives, swears by it, has read it. All these football guys cite it as this great Bible of scouting and game planning and all that, and we know what Bill obviously thinks of his dad and
right.
Navy and all that. So sure. I've started it. It's from a Patriots fan's perspective, you see a lot and you go, oh, yeah, that's where that came from, that theory, thought, philosophy.
Okay.
And I know Bill has promoted Bill Walsh's book. His words were something to the effect of, I knew what I wanted to do and had confidence of what I thought I should do as a coach. But it's nice to have it validated that Bill Walsh said the same things, basically along those lines, that he and Bill Walsh were, you know, eye to eye, same page on a lot of philosophical things. So I forgot what the name of that book is, but those were two. Bill Walsh, then Steve Belichick.
There's Bill's book, The Education of a Coach.
Yeah. Education, that's more of a bio type
yeah.
of.
Yeah. But I mean, if you want to learn a little bit about
this, I think these two books are more scouting and then team building philosophies on football from Bill Walsh. And Bill, I think, agrees with a lot of them.
Okay, that's good.
I'm planning on writing something in the paper at some point when I get through the book. So
apparently the Jets have just signed defensive tackle Howard Green. Anybody know him?
He wasn't a bad announcer in the Boston area.
Yeah.
Several years back.
Oh, I interned with him at Neckin. Glasses?
Yeah. Yep.
Balding?
I don't remember about balding. But
a little bit.
Yeah.
Big forehead.
Definitely glasses.
Yeah, I interned with
nice
him
guy.
For a little bit.
Hey,
you guy. I didn't love him.
Let's see. Chris with a TIAN. We haven't heard from him in a little bit. He writes in, what's up? Great game on Sunday. Who stole the defensive uniforms? wow, the kids look good. I think this is great, not only for the team, but for good for this defense's confidence. Why do you keep saying defenses? As for the offense.
The confidence of the defense, he could have written.
Yeah.
But instead he wrote the defense's confidence.
It's a possessive, I believe.
So, why am I pronouncing it defense?
Well,
defense.
You say a lot. I mean,
I don't know.
You called him Lendale or something earlier.
And blah, 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 blah.
I let it slip, but you don't say a lot of things properly.
Okay. I was as giddy as anybody. Man, Brady sure looks like the Brady of old. Jets week is here. Did I mention I hate the Jets? Nice game on Monday, gangrene. Keep playing offensive offense like that, and you won't need to trade up in the draft. And
isn't gangrene like an infection?
Yes.
Gangrene is.
I think they really have it. They should amputate because
let's go eat a goddamn snack.
As for the PFW show, I
they
thought it was
that on Real Radio. I'm telling you, I'm not sure it was supposed to play.
I thought it was excellent, great production,
I
like how you guys featured the cover before each segment. My only complaint is what's up with the camera? In the segment you guys were in the cube, there appeared to be a zoom problem. Paul was making a point, and when he mentioned the word huge, the camera immediately zoomed in on his belly.
Oh.
It, did it really?
I thought for a second
Christian,
they were going to go Andy's head there.
What's up
even
with that?
You at two.
I thought I was seeing things. I rewinded it twice. Paul, just say the word, and I can pay a visit to the camera guy. And long, finally, see you, Lawrence Boney Maroney, long overdue.
No mo, low mo.
Not a lot of love for
no.
Maroney in the post-trade portion of his career.
See if that turns a little, if Taylor gets hurt and Morris gets hurt. And
yeah,
you
I'm
see
not
Benny
sure.
for a six-week span.
I'm not sure it will. Andy, good news. NFL ratings for week one up 20%.
not as high as our ratings in our demo.
Yeah, but that means people aren't coming to the games.
Well, I did see that they had a
were there blackouts?
I don't know if there were blackouts. I know there were a lot of empty seats at the Giants opener they were talking about.
Yeah.
Really? Well, maybe that's because you have to pay like $10,000 or whatever.
Can't imagine Jacksonville sold out. They never do.
Well, I think they – oh, no, they had a great offseason. They had a huge season ticket holder campaign and sold more season ticket packages
good.
Than ever.
Good for them.
They've also reduced their capacity to 20,000. So.
And they obviously don't have PSLs like the Giants.
Right.
Well, the Giants, yeah, that's a problem.
$20,000 for the
that's
right to buy a ticket is
– that's ridiculous.
That's robbery.
Brian in Baltimore. Hey, guys,
Patriots
and Eric.
Didn't do it.
I made my first call a few weeks back, but haven't emailed with a game in a while, so here goes. Pick one. Sign Randy Moss for the next 3 years or sign Logan Mankins for the next 5 years?
Moss.
Really? Moss for three over Logan for five? Yes.
I think you need money to make an accurate decision on that.
Let's say it's even. Same money.
Well, for even
3
money?
3 years, yeah. 50 million, 5
well,
years,
Well, no, no.
Million?
Whatever the average annual value is,
so
you have to pay more for Mankins.
But if it's five, but see, you know what I'm saying?
3 and 27 or 5 and 45? Just make it $9 million per.
Yeah.
Mankins.
Okay.
I'm going with an irreplaceable Hall of Fame target.
Bring back Adalys Thomas, or bring back Lawrence Maroney, or bring back Junior Seau.
Maroney,
I think.
None of the above.
I don't want any of the above either. That's not the game.
That's not the game.
Fred.
I'm playing well.
Mister,
play by the rules.
I need to know the money. Can you give me the contract? I need a breakdown of the contract. Are you like Borges? Can you give me the deferred money?
If it's... I think with Moss and Mankins, it's a little bit different.
I agree. One's replaceable, one isn't.
I want Mankins on my team every day of the week, but...
Me too.
I'm not necessarily looking to pay him $56 million, which is the Jahri Evans deal.
Sure.
So that's why... I mean, money is kind of in the context here. One guy's in the prime of his career, the other guy's at the end of his career.
And my desire to have none of those three players on my team is in the context.
Over or under? 6 catches for Moss on Sunday.
Over.
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 Under.
Paul says under. I might
You'll
go
be
with
seeing
Paul.
This. And right now I'm doing the thumbs pointing to the back of Moss. He's going to be celebrating Love Fest. I predict a Love Fest.
What if he came out and over his name had taped out and it was Slouch?
I'd laugh. Robert Goodell would not. No, nor would Roger.
I know what's going to happen already because I said under. They're going to throw him like 3 screens and all that, you know, stuff.
He's going to be involved.
Like he got all his catches against the Jets last year.
You're going to see some formation where it involves Gronkowski absolutely blistering Darrell Revis so they can get Moss the ball. They will get Moss the ball. No doubt in my mind. The bouquets of appreciation will come in the form of footballs.
8 catches for Welker Sunday. Over or under?
Over.
Wow, you're both
I think they're targeting
again.
Moss.
Okay.
Over. They're going to test Kyle Wilson.
80 total rush yards for the Jets.
Over.
Over.
Okay.
I mean, they had a terrible game the other day, and they had to have been close. Tomlinson had 61.
Tomlinson had about that on
18
his own.
18 for Green. They were knocking on the door of it, and it was terrible. So, yeah.
Either or.
They only ran 20 plays.
This is an either or. Inez Sands or Aaron Andrews?
Aaron Andrews. 100 times out of 100.
Really? Absolutely.
Not even comparable.
Not even close.
Oh, I take the other one.
Yeah, because you like butts. And Aaron Andrews' best picture
is big
her
butts.
Boobs.
And I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny.
You do.
I can't believe that just happened.
So really? You're supposed to have the song right there that you can push.
Yeah, because you knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, like I would think Fred would start singing that song of all songs.
So going off.
Yeah, you got to be more ready.
Brian also wants to know.
I take back what I said. You didn't have a great day today.
After the whole Inez thing the other day, that would have been a great transition.
But Brian does want to know if we have any thoughts about women in the locker room and whether or not they should be allowed in there.
Uh-oh.
I think they absolutely should be allowed in there.
I've always said, and I will state to this, and it's not just because women in the locker room. I believe in a pro sport, the locker room is sort of their sanctuary. That's where they get away from everything. And I think, but reporters have to do their job. So I think that every team in their facility or wherever their locker room is should have to have like an interview room where all the players have to go through to get out.
Sure.
Okay. I have no problem with that.
And that's where you do your interviews with the players.
I agree.
So a separate kind of like players' lounge.
Yeah, they should have to have...
That's where the interviews
or cafeteria
go.
Cafeteria or something. They have to go through. They have to be available.
But they have to come... They have to be available.
Right. They have to go through.
No, I have no problem.
I really think that, you know, when you... They should have that one place where they can take their clothes off and... In, you know, privacy.
And I should have that one place where I can talk to him without having to see him naked.
Right. I think that serves both.
We'll get back to Logan Mankins when I said, hey, Logan, and he pulled his pants down. I turned around and ran the other way.
Did you guys hear the Clinton Portis comments?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Yeah. Real dumb.
Dumb.
And not only that, when I heard him, it was on EEI, and they took the Fred Kirsch approach and said, I actually think he's gay. They think he's been staring at junk in the locker room for years.
I've been saying it for years, too.
About Portis.
Right.
Fred's been saying it for years.
I didn't think it was okay to just...
What did he say?
Throw out gay out there.
Hi, Eric. He said, you know, what do you expect?
But,
you know,
but yet, you've built a career on it.
No. Okay, if Clinton Portis were sitting here, would you say, Clinton, I've always thought you were kind of gay.
No, I would not.
I say it to Eric's face. Not much anymore. I'm not supposed to. But that's my point, Eric. I apologize for bringing this up. But Fred does it from 3,000 miles away and wouldn't do it to his face.
Nor
would John Dennis.
What did Portis say that is
he said,
getting
you
upset?
To the effect
he said,
of,
if you have a woman in a locker room of 53 athletes, there's it only stands natural that they're going to be attracted to somebody.
At least one of them.
At least one of them.
Look
the
at
players
them.
Or the
package.
The woman.
Oh.
You know,
they're
going to
see something she likes or appeals
and
to
with,
her.
With
something.
Something appeals was the word.
Yeah.
And then he said, you know, you have 53 packages there.
Yeah, he took it to the package.
Oh. But, I mean, to me, it's just as offensive to say any woman who saw 53 different men, 53 different athletes would have to be attracted to one of them. I mean, how degrading is that to a woman? I'm automatically just attracted to you. I don't even know you.
An interesting test.
All right, Eric.
For
is,
me and
Eric
and
is back from practice. He's got news for us. We're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Eric.
BFW in progress. Not your run of the mill talk show.
Look, I'm not sure this place is working. The drinkers are smoking, the smokers are drinking, and the gamblers are having sex with everything that moves.
Patriots.com Radio.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains.
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but I,
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the change, patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services NA, Bank of America NA, member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay. Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Yeah, don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. And as promised before we went to the break, Eric is here with today's practice report.
Yep, outside, full pads up on the upper practice fields, the training camp fields. And they had music going, so it felt a lot like training camp.
Who was playing?
I don't know who the artist was.
Rap?
R&B type.
And it would have said, does not work.
R&B type of thing. I think I heard Arrington and Will Hite talking about it before practice, but I didn't really catch which artist it was.
Focused on the music at practice rather than practice. Good.
Yeah, but it was fun. It was a little different. Only two missing players, Wheatley and Kazier. You guys probably saw Wheatley in the locker room walking around with the boot on his left foot.
Well, I've been reading that the last couple of weeks that he's been in a boot. I didn't see him today.
Yeah, he walked through a couple of times and didn't seem to be walking with a limp, but he had the boot on and had just come from the weight room and was going into maybe get more treatment or whatever, but he wasn't in there long.
What, the lineup? Oh, you meant the treatment room.
Right. No new players that we could see. There weren't any new jerseys out there, so don't know if they've made any transactions. Morrell was not out there. No other transactions. Maybe they promoted someone from the practice squad at this point. We don't know. But
they do have a running back on the practice squad.
Yes, they do.
If they choose to stay with the same position.
If they want, they could do that.
Javaris James.
Javaris James, yeah. Javaris James.
Little Edge. Edge could play at the edge.
It's the week after a victory, so of course we have the return of...
Black jerseys.
That's right.
Okay, Rod Stewart.
There were six of them.
That's not his name.
Rod Stewart is an old the wide rock and roller.
Got one. Must have.
You're talking about Rod Owens, who's not on the team anymore?
We don't have him on the team. Who's the wide receiver on the practice squad?
Darnell Jenkins.
Did you even give a glance to the practice squad when we made it?
No.
That's the second week in a row you had a guy who's not here anymore. You were sure Rob Myers was
six,
on the practice
six
squad.
Players got the black shirts, and one of them led the team in tackles this past week.
Before or after
the tabulations?
I don't know, but Patrick Chung was one of them. Which, yeah, I know. I had the same kind of look. I'm like, wow.
Now we're just giving it out as player of the week?
I don't know.
I thought it was for guys who, got the real players ready. Practice player of the week. Really got the team ready.
Wes Welker get one?
No, he did not. But Tony Carter, the cornerback on the practice squad. Never Sean heard. Crable got one. And then three linemen. Ornberger, Neal, and Wendell.
Okay.
So a couple of starters. And a couple of practice squad guys and a couple of...
apparently Bill didn't hold it against him when Wendell got pancaked in the game when they made the switch fullback.
Apparently not.
Because he absolutely got crushed I've never seen a guard get crushed in my life.
You actually went, ooh.
I mean, he got pancaked. Yeah. Where's my guy? The player was simply overpowered on the play.
Yeah.
Looked like if you had put Paul in at guard.
Are you guys...
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
But he's an offender.
Thanks, Hawk.
Well, he's an offensive.
Are you guys at all surprised that that Bill is sticking with Kazier?
Yes. Sticking this far into the regular season,
you shouldn't
with him,
because you think he's going to.
Why did you guys get into an argument already about something?
Like no, ago. I had the audacity to say that he was a starting player, and Andy has now turned
him
into an all-pro
guard. That's what he does.
That's what he does.
Fred picked the Niners.
That's
Super Bowl.
That's Paul.
Should have picked the.
Why
Seahawks.
They hate him.
Who's they?
All right.
Let's go back to that guy who said I was perfect as always.
Pretty much. Jarrad Page starting to work his way in a little bit. He's getting a lot of reps with Scott O'Brien and the special teams group. He's in the middle of the...
So you saw some practice today?
We actually saw two periods of drills.
Why?
I don't know. We were happy for it, though.
Now, could Sean Crable get promoted?
Well, wait a minute.
He could.
Now, you have to think about this now.
That might be why they let Morrell go.
Yeah.
See, I think that makes a lot more sense than Javaris James.
And,
yes.
You wouldn't really know until
good call by
later.
You.
Won't know until later, now, right.
They wouldn't probably do it until
Friday.
Unless they sign an ex-jet to the
practice
squad.
You have to put
your
journalist/detective hat on here.
For?
They deviated from their normal thing and allowed you to see a couple drills that you don't normally see. Why do you think that they wanted you to see that?
Was the timing off?
What was there that...
I want to dismiss the fact that it was chance.
Right, right.
And get to Fred's theory. Because Fred could be right here. But
no,
was the timing off in any way?
Usually we see the timing of practice...
When you got out there, was stretching already done?
No.
No.
So you were out there for longer than you normally are?
We got out there. No, we just got the full extent of the 20 minutes. Normally, it can be it can go anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes. No, that's no secret. That's reported on all the time.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure we're not the reason the team gets fined for not having a full...
No, it just sometimes...
That's Eric Scalavino.
I don't know what the reason is, but normally we see stretching and usually that first drill where they're, you know, they're running through the bags or the, you know...
Did they do the bags?
They did that. They did all that stuff, and then they blew the horn, which is normally the sign for us to get out, but nobody said anything, so we got to see the quarterbacks passing to the wide receivers. We got to see the special teams work. We got to see
maybe
the O-line.
Maybe they just forgot to get you out of there.
No, they don't forget.
I'm kind of leaning to that. Yeah. I'm kind of leaning to human error. Yeah.
What did they do in the very first play? What plays
it wasn't
did you
a
say?
Play. It was just the drill. Like the quarterbacks throwing to the wide receivers, where they, you know, they line up on either side.
Yeah.
The special teams guys were working on blocking assignments.
So nothing stood out from you for like, oh, Edelman's with the running backs, or something that you would report that Bill might want reported.
No. Okay.
Now, anything Mike Reese would report. That Bill would report.
Mike was right next to me. We were taking notes together,
anything
actually.
Anything I would report that Bill might report.
Did you hear
me? Little nip in the air, I could tell, because Eric is now donning a T-shirt under his
second layer,
shirt.
Yep. We're adding second layers layer. Now, Fred.
I didn't know he had little nipples.
I thought he was going with the sweater.
When will you come.
When you said that, I thought maybe he had a sweater off to the side.
Sweater will come.
Not quite yet. Yeah, you're right. It'll be here. Don't worry.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. On the phone right now is Anthony in Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, guys?
Oh. Great.
Actually calling up a little, angry.
Uh-oh.
No. But did you guys hear the comments of Tom Brady?
Which ones?
About the crowd noise?
No.
Well, not really the crowd noise, but the crowd not sticking around.
No, I didn't hear that.
I missed that part. That was today?
Yeah, you guys are on the air. Well, they just aired it on, the Hub, 98.5.
Yeah.
But pretty much the gist of it was, pretty much Tom Brady was saying how loud the Jets fans were and how they stick around and, you know, they don't leave after a 21-point lead.
Oh, whoa. I part company with Brady there because I've been at games where the Jets start losing and they just head for the parking lots.
Fred, don't defend him.
I am.
Relax.
It's true.
Who are you defending, the Jets or Brady?
I'm not defending Brady. I'm contradicting Brady.
Well, you know, no, I'm actually agreeing with Brady.
Me too.
Finally,
I would agree with Brady.
I said to Paul, remember that I go, whoa, why is everybody heading for the gates? And there was seven,
no, but see, you're getting me wrong. What Brady's saying is true, but he's wrong about the Jets.
He wasn't wrong week one.
Crowd was phenomenal.
I'll say
week
this.
One.
In week one, if the Patriots had turned in a performance like the Jets did, you would not even you would have heard a pin drop.
No, that's a 10-9 game.
I know. Yeah. And the crowd was ballistic loud throughout the fourth quarter, despite the fact
and they also booed him at halftime.
Despite the fact that the team gave him nothing to cheer for for four straight quarters.
You know,
quarters.
They did boo him at halftime.
They deserve to be booed.
I'm just saying.
And I bet Rex Ryan would say boo too.
Patriots fans wouldn't have been booing because they wouldn't have been there.
I have been at Jets game.
Let's go to eat a goddamn
I have been at Jets game, and you guys have too, where they head for the.
Yes.
Yes. So it's not just Patriots fans.
Have I been at Jets victories like that when the Patriots. They headed for the gates this weekend. Okay. Opening day, you're beating a playoff team. Why are you leaving early in the midway through the
fourth
quarter?
I'm with Brady on that. I agree with him on that, but don't compare it to the Jets because they're just
as bad
sometimes.
To me, Fred, Brady's greater point, and I agreed with him, like one of his points. Now, I don't have it word for word, just listen to it, but one of his points was they're not loud enough, and I agree with him.
Oh, yep.
You know why? Because I was sitting at home, and I'm sitting there, and I think it was like third down, defense needs some noise, and you know how many, like, they scan to the freaking crowd. You know how many guys I just saw there with arms folded, just standing up watching the damn game.
Anthony,
you know what?
We've been
That's
on this
annoying.
Bandwagon for years.
Oh, I've been saying it too. But you know who I'm going to blame now? You know what? Somebody needs to get proactive over there in the organization.
Jason?
You can blame it on the fans, and you can do something there in the stadium. I'm just sick of, it feels, before I start attacking, what does the stadium do to get them involved? That's my first question.
Two issues here. First issue is that Sunday, for pretty much the whole game, two-thirds of the bowl audio was out. We were operating at one-third capacity.
That's true. A lot of the speakers
None
were
of the
out.
Fans could hear anything. It was bad. And second, as somebody who is down...
So what does that have to do with crowd participation?
He's talking about creating noise in the stadium. When you're playing sound, I don't
that
know...
That just covers up the lack of noise. That doesn't create noise.
Not you pumping in noise.
No, I
what
know.
What do you guys do to get the fans involved?
Exactly. We have.
I'm sorry.
We
I
have
don't
player.
Think that. I'm going to defend these guys. That's not their job. They yeah. What do they have to teach them that it's third down and 10?
Right.
No. That's not.
You know
that's not
Kevin's
fault.
Maybe you do have to do
fault.
That to the Pink Hatters. Maybe you do.
That's what it is. And it's been like this for the last 5 to 6 years.
It's been like this for
forever.
15 years.
Yeah,
like this more than
yeah,
forever.
The whole time I've been here.
You got to get proactive.
We did
what was change it? Things, make people involved.
In the year 2000, we had a cover for PFW that said Silence of the Fans.
Yep.
Back then, and even before then, the only time this place was just raucous was that Pittsburgh game and the Jacksonville game, 1996 playoffs.
Well, I don't know if that's the only.
Well, I'm just saying everyone says
few and far between.
I mean,
everyone,
the Pittsburgh opener
no, but
here,
Pittsburgh opener
here
opener.
Was wild.
No, here's my point here, Andy. Everyone always says, "Well, it's a new stadium." I remember in the old stadium they were allowed. They
no,
remember those two games,
and they remember yeah, maybe the Snow Bowl
right,
against
yeah.
Oakland.
They
yeah.
remember
they
those
remember,
two games.
They remember ridiculously memorable games.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you something. There were some memorable games. You might have heard of a few of them. You know, the games
Kevin
against,
Turner game,
the games against the Colts,
right?
It hasn't been like that.
Right.
It hasn't been ridiculously loud. There were a few games here and there, and Pittsburgh opener at Gillette was one of them.
Very loud.
Yeah.
It was ridiculously loud.
Yeah.
Guys,
and that just shows
that.
You it can
be
get
done.
That loud.
Well, part of the problem is
forget
the stadium. You don't have a closed stadium.
It's
I blame the
that
crowd.
That hurts. That
a
doesn't help.
Bowl holds the noise in, just
exactly.
like the new Meadowlands.
That doesn't
does.
Help. There's no
I blame
doubt.
The crowd, not the people that are, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. If you go to a game, if you go to a game at Denver, the only thing they really do that forces the crowd to get involved is that incomplete chant that they do.
And did you guys notice that this year's the first year we've had players appear on the scoreboard?
Yeah, I don't think that's working.
But I'm just saying they're trying everything they know.
Oh,
how
yeah,
to do.
But yeah. It shouldn't be up. You shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah,
the fans should know, okay, it's third and long. They're in an obvious passing situation. We need to be loud.
But in their defense, too, as somebody who was on the field for the entire game, and when Doc and I spoke after the game, it was one of the loudest crowds that we've had here in recent memory on Sunday.
Yeah, because they're all quiet. I mean,
and you're right,
okay,
Andy. Part
guys,
of it's the stadium.
Can I say something here?
Sure.
Don't you think a part of the problem, like people always complain, there's a lot of Pink Hatters now, okay? And we know what that means. That means the casual fan that really doesn't know a whole lot about the game, all they know is the brand name. They know New England Patriots or Boston Red Sox, whatever you want to put on it. They barely know enough. They couldn't name an offensive lineman. They probably can barely name a wide receiver outside of Moss and Welker.
Well,
those are the fans you have to get into. My point is...
I just don't think that's the Patriots crowd. I think the Patriots crowd is a very blue-collar crowd. They all have the shirts on. They're all ready to go every week. I think for the most part, that's a Red Sox problem. Not a Patriots problem. The pink hat thing?
Yeah.
I don't think there are a lot of guys that don't know a lot about the team that come to the games
every week.
Anthony,
you know, and you say, you know, lately, I'm telling you, this has always been the problem. Now, maybe the problem 20 years ago was because the team stunk and no one really wanted to get, you know, invest the emotional interest in them. Maybe that was the deal then. But even now, it's never been.
I think it's a regional. I think it's a regional.
It could be, Eric.
Too cool.
Forget it.
No,
although I remember in
the
80s, the
personality
of
the people in this area,
wine and cheese crowd.
Okay, so you know that the New England crowds are capable of doing it.
They're capable, like yeah. The Garden when the Celtics were winning.
What can we do to change this? That's my point.
Okay,
be proactive.
Win games.
What do you want to do to change it? I don't understand. What do you suggest?
Somebody
what?
Needs to think of something. If Robert Kraft is listening and the other Kraft is listening, we have to do something. Change it. I don't know. Change the culture. You know what I just thought of?
I mean, like,
I said,
like win
right.
Super Bowls? I mean, I don't really
listen,
understand. What is incumbent on the team? I don't blame this on the organization. This is the fans.
I don't think he's blaming it, but he's saying, is there something the organization could do?
Exactly.
What, like put players on the big screen and tell them to cheer? They did that on Sunday.
I don't know, but let's think about it. Maybe,
T-shirts out of a
maybe
cannon?
Anthony's on. Maybe there is something we can do in an
mascot
education.
On a scooter.
I mean, there's no doubt that it can be an advantage. I mean, Kansas City keeps track.
We're not in Kansas City.
Will you just let me finish for one thought?
But that's like saying, why doesn't BC
look,
have a better following?
Look,
they have it at Alabama. They
just,
don't.
Just
it just is the way it
Kansas
is.
Kansas City keeps track of the false starts at the crowd noise. So they've been educated over decades.
Exactly.
That this.
How about Seattle, the 12th man? They make a They make it a proud tradition.
I think Andy just had a great analogy. It's like they people go to BC games and they wonder why it's not the same as it is in Alabama or in Georgia. Because
different.
It's not the same. It's just not.
Now I do think the one thing that was controllable that got controlled the wrong way is the stadium was not made
to reverberate sound and really
That is a problem.
And that's an issue, but that's too late. You've moved on past that. Beyond that, I think there's very little that can be done. It has to be a fan-led thing. It has to be a grassroots effort by fans. If there were enough of the 68,000 that were as pissed off as Anthony is, it would change.
Right.
Well, it doesn't.
There's no fireman Ed to get people fired up.
It is best when it's organic, when it comes from the grassroots, like you said, rather than
from the... You can't do it because, we're going to do Fireman Joe.
I'm taking crazy pills because all you guys do is shoot things down and say it's not going to be.
I'm not shooting anything down. I think you're 100% right, Anthony. I just don't think
you think
you can create it. You think you can fix it by doing something. I don't.
So
what is it?
Something.
What is it?
Listen to me for 2 seconds. I just, I don't know if this will work. I don't know if it'll work, but it's something. We're all about advertising and making money. Why don't they sell something on the boards where it says, all right, you know, State Farm is they're a proud backer of the defense. Just the defense, because that's where you need the noise. And State Farm says, you know, like a good neighbor, we're there. Now you be there for your defense. Make some effing noise. Obviously, you're not going to use effing, but...
They have those on the big board.
I don't know how many more of those things
you can
have.
Those noise meters.
In fact, this year...
You
can't get people to pay attention.
Yeah. The league is now allowing teams to do things to incite noise. In the past, you couldn't do that because you'd be penalized, but now you're allowed to do that.
And the league rule is once the play clock hits 15 seconds...
Then you have to
stop. You have to wipe it.
Right.
You can't play any sound. You can't put anything on the board.
I've seen those make noise. I've seen defense, the little hyphen. What?
We also did... Do you guys notice that Aussie thing that they filmed live? Jason literally is trad.
It's
God
the fans.
Knows how many things.
It is
the fans.
It's the whole mindset of the region.
Yes, ultimately it is the fans. There's no doubt.
Rules of football, make noise for your defense. Put it up there.
I know.
Sometimes these people don't know.
I know.
It's absurd.
Anthony, you clearly haven't been to a game in a while because they put them on the board. I see them every year, every game, all the time.
We're not shooting your ideas down. We're telling you that these things have been
done
and are being done.
They don't work. John Rook tries to do something with a first down. People try stuff. Doesn't work.
Yeah. And half the time, when people actually do stand up to make noise, you get told to sit down by the wine
fans
and cheese eaters behind
other.
We get a lot of emails about that.
That happens all the time.
Yep. People don't like
this. Is a crowd based issue.
That whole cheers thing that they tried to do last year, nobody liked that.
That was lame.
Doesn't
work.
But they tried it.
Right.
People don't like. I just think that people around here are a little bit different. I mean, they just don't like being
told
what
to
do.
They don't. They don't.
Yeah. They get excited when their team is winning.
Yeah.
They get psyched up. When things are going bad, they just like to sit there and pout. It's just a regional mindset that we have around here. Other places, other parts of the country, they're optimistic more.
No matter what.
No matter what.
Yeah. No matter
what. The lifestyle down south
is
different.
And I'll tell you, I listen a lot to the NFL on Sirius. And I'll tell you, when things are going bad for the Patriots, you don't hear Patriots callers. But Steeler fans, Cowboy fans, Raiders fans, I mean, they've had some bad years, you know, not getting to the ultimate success lately, but they never stop calling and they never stop getting behind their team. They're not afraid to wear it on their sleeve.
And they're older traditions.
Well, true.
They had success in the 70s and 80s.
They're not afraid to wear their allegiance on their sleeve, whereas Patriots fans, as soon as things go bad, they want to distance themselves.
Because they grew up sucking.
Well, that could be. It could be.
We have to study this comparatively to say Steelers, what are they going to be in 20 years after their dynasty ended? Are they when the Steelers or whatever you're comparing?
Right,
it's not the same.
All I'm saying is that it's a noticeable difference. Whatever you could be right. The reason could be because the Patriots don't have that history and
like
legacy.
The Saints. The Saints are rocking right now. Are they going to be rocking in a couple years, or will there be bags out in the crowd in Nashville?
Yeah.
Like there were bags in New England. There's different legacies.
Yeah.
Some were laughable losers. Some have great traditions.
But I think now, I think now with the success they've had over the last 10 years, there's no excuse.
There's no reason.
It's just a fact.
You're telling me you can't sell noisemakers something?
Well, that I don't think you're allowed.
I don't think you're allowed to use vuvuzelas.
You don't want those things. Yeah.
Vuvuzelas.
Part of the problem is exactly what you guys were talking about and what Brady was talking about. They arrive late and they leave early.
That there was a lot of empty seats at kickoff.
Last year,
the
Ravens playoff game.
Yeah.
I went as a fan with my father. We sat in the 300 level. There are 26 seats in a row. Yeah. We were the only two people in our row at kickoff. That's your problem.
Well, for this first home game,
they had a hard time selling tickets.
There was
a
lot
of
traffic problems this week. Hopefully, as the season goes on, people
there's always traffic.
There was traffic.
Well, I know,
problems?
But there was this week. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
As a result
coming
of what?
In. Just a lot of people first time coming. Whatever.
Well, that stuff doesn't bother me. Leaving early, you can understand it with the 21-point lead. That I kind of didn't like. I'm not totally with Brady.
Why would you pay all that money?
Right. I just
you never know what you're going to see either.
That's the beauty of sports. I could see a 99-yard run. I could see a this or that.
Right.
No, you're right.
First game I ever.
I know, but when you're down by 21 and you're weighing, should I stay or should I try?
No, down by 21 is different.
Yeah.
I have no problem.
I never leave.
Up by 21.
The first game I ever attended here.
I could see something I've never seen.
Was 1987. The Eagles were in town. Randall Cunningham's first year as a starter. New England was down by 21 points in the fourth quarter. Yeah. 8 minutes left. They put Tom Ramsey in the game. What does he do? Throws three touchdowns. They go into overtime. They ended up losing the game, but it was one of the greatest comebacks in team history at that point.
Yeah, no,
you never know what you're
going to
see. You should never leave a game early.
I was a season ticket holder from 94 to when I started here, and I went to pretty much every home game, and I only left one game before it was over, and that was the Atlanta home game here with Jamal Anderson. They killed. It was like 41-10 or something like that, and it was the infamous Ron Borges game about $5 million linebackers getting stiffed on. It's
right.
Bull, whatever,
right.
To Pete Carroll. That's the only game I ever left early.
Poop.
But I have no problem when you're getting killed if a fan who cares
right.
is saying, this
Screw
is
that.
Ridiculous. I'm not going to watch
for this or sit
this.
In traffic. I'm going to leave.
But if I went to one or two games, you can bet I'd be there for the entire 60 minutes, no matter what the spread was.
Yeah. But Paul, too, do you think you called it a blue-collar crowd?
I think it's a
can
blue-collar
Can those blue-collar
crowd.
People afford to pay the money, the $40 to park, the $89 cheap seats?
Listen. That's sports. That's a problem in all of sports right now. And I think that
it's on the verge of changing, I think.
People that know a lot more about, economists that know a lot more about this stuff than we do wonder if they've hit that point. What do they call it? I mean, the
tipping point?
Yeah, isn't there a term for it?
What's so funny?
Because I think he could have come up with that on his own.
Actually,
I think he was.
Paul, I think the big issue
diminishing
is,
returns?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Anthony?
Well, I'm just saying, as in going to the game, listen, I'm a big fan. Of the NFL in general, obviously the Patriots are first. When I weigh my options, I'm like, do I want to go to a game and, sit there, go through traffic, and then always realizing that I'm actually looking at the scoreboard to see the replays and never really looking down on the field. I love my home experience a heck of a lot better.
Yep.
Yeah. See, I didn't. Now, I'm a little older now, obviously. Andy likes to remind everybody of that.
Well, you didn't have HD back then, Paul. That's
well,
why.
It's not because of the quality of the picture on my television.
Beer.
Because
Anthony,
it
we have HD
great.
Boards now.
I don't want to waste a whole day now because I have children, and I would rather spend time with my kids, and maybe I'll lose 3 hours watching the game as opposed to 8 or 9 hours going to the game at 9 o'clock in the morning and, fighting the traffic to get
but
home.
Someday you might bring your kids.
No, and I hope to do that.
Yeah.
I hope to do that.
It's funny,
but
Paul
and
I actually talked about that. Can we
do that next year in the preseason? But yeah, Anthony, I understand what you're saying. I think that's a problem the NFL is very cognizant of, is how enhanced the experience of watching the game at home has become.
Fred,
you're right, Anthony.
Just to let you know what I got going on, me and a buddy, we pulled in together. He's got a great pad for it. I live by myself. I have my own place for it. But anyways, I got the DirecTV. We're splitting it. We got a 52-inch in the living room. We got another 42-inch in his second living room where you could see it off the kitchen. And then he's got another TV outside on the pool patio. So we're grilling. We got three TVs going.
Love
we have
it.
Friends over. What's that?
I love it. What time should we
Are
be
we
there?
Invited?
You guys can come anytime. Listen, if you
hey
ever
ladies.
Want to visit me, I can't take all of you, but one at a time, I think I can make room.
Now it sounds kind of gay.
You know what I mean? Well, you're going to have to...
As soon as everybody gets off, we're going to grab them and have a party.
First, it was a group
of
guys
and
after me
and you. I'm not sleeping on the couch while you two sleep in my bed.
I'm
That's
not
all
spooning
I'm
with you.
All right.
Anthony.
Anthony, thanks
right,
for the call.
He
brings up a good point. Now, obviously, it's a hot-button issue. Glenn in Newburyport writes in, I was at the game, and I got to tell you guys, I had no voice on Monday. It's just that not everybody is into hollering. Most folks around me weren't making much noise. It just seems like that's the way it is.
And I have been told that it was a reasonably loud crowd on
It was.
I
compared to what, though? compared to what we've had.
Exactly. That's my point.
I think
not compared to Kansas City or
but
New York.
But I also, yeah, but I don't think we can
compared
hear
compared to a real crowd.
Right.
No, we can't.
I think you hear it more when you're actually like when you're the players down on the field and you have all that those levels of noise raining down on you as opposed to
well,
up
you
in
would
the
know.
But again, they're
the
ones that are complaining.
I'm on the Patriots
side. So I mean, can you hear yourself think? Because that's what you want.
The players are the ones complaining about it, though.
They cheer louder for a Victoria's Secret model than they do for us. Richard Seymour, Tom Brady, comparing him to the Jets. The players are the ones complaining. They're on the field. They can't hear a crowd.
Chinese T in Bedford writes in. He says that's his name.
What?
That's what he wants to go by. I'm just going.
Chinese tea bag in Bedford.
He says, I hope this gets to you before the end of the show, and Rook pops in. I vaguely recall Rook talking about this in one of his past shows, seeing as he is the announcer for home games, and he has been harping or begging for ideas on how to get the fans into the game.
You can't force
you can't force it.
You can't force it.
I agree.
You can try to lead
it. Especially here, I think people think of that stuff as corny.
Yeah.
And they don't want fabricated enthusiasm.
Right.
Now, that's just my – maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe people don't know what they're doing. I tend to think of the Patriots fans that come to the games every week. I don't think there are a lot of those pink hats.
See, I think
– that don't know the game and don't know who the players are and when to cheer and all that stuff. I think they know what they're doing.
I think – and I know this is in the category of trying to force things. But if there was a person, a character, a personality that everyone really liked and he was, you know, one of those great – you know, before the game, he gets out there and he starts people going. He gets them going.
A fan, you mean, or somebody on the
fireman? Not necessarily a fan, but like a personality. It could be a fan, but you know,
I think it would need to be a fan.
Yeah,
I think Eric's right. We're cynics. We would say, "Oh, now we're just going to copy the Jets and have our own guy."
Right. Yeah,
like I think that would be the response. Negative. Yeah. We're all negative New Englanders.
But like you know, like when Monday Night Football comes to state, including here, you know, people get pumped, and then when they hear that Monday Night music, they're going crazy. You know, but. There's something that gets them going like that, you know.
But so, you can't create that on any given Sunday.
I know.
And it's also just a different – like when I used to go as a fan and I would see opposing teams' fans try to walk into Foxborough, they would be heckled. They would sometimes have stuff thrown at them. People here hated other teams' fans. So the first time I went on the road to a game was down in Jacksonville. And then we went to Denver a year later and we started going on road trips.
I
was scared. I was kind of scared that we were going to have to go through what fans go through here. And it was completely different. Nobody did anything or said anything to us. After the game, which the Patriots actually won, fans were coming up to us from the other team and congratulating us. Nice job on the win. You all played great today. Like, we were stunned because it was something we weren't used to. We were used to seeing something different. It's collectively, it's just the way we are up here. You know, life is a lot faster up here. People say there's a lot more, you know, curt rudeness.
Right.
Just in general, you go to other parts of the country, it's not like that. I think that's just the way it is. And with sports, we tend to be ornery. If our team's winning, we feel good. If they're not, we don't. We sit on our hands. It's just the way it is.
I've had similar experiences in road games. I know what Eric's talking about. Are you sad that you don't care anymore? You used
a little bit.
Go to Denver and Jacksonville.
Don't care. After predicting the doom of the Patriots dynasty, he's now predicting the doom of the NFL dynasty and basically all of civilization.
Really?
He just said, when you were reaching the breaking point, I think it's about to turn. People will be able to go to games soon because they're all going to go out of business.
You hear people talking
doom
about...
Doom and gloom over here.
No, but you hear people talking about that for the economy in terms of college tuition. If it's reached, you know, at some point...
People can't afford
people
to do it.
People will not be able to do this anymore, and tuition is going to have to stop.
And it used to be that way. Years ago, everyone didn't go to college.
Right.
You know?
Right. You had to go on the GI Bill, and all these people that
but,
went
you know,
to
you're
like,
talking
the Army to pay for college.
And 50 grand a year to live at these private institutions, and I'm not sure that a lot of people can afford that anymore.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Of course, coming up right now is John Rook with Patriots Playbook. How you doing, John?
Good. You know, you guys were talking about something that we've been trying to, you know, solve for the better part of the, you know, 78 years that I've been there at the stadium.
It's only 25, John.
Oh, it's only 25. Thank you. I lose count. It's so many years.
No, I hear
you. You know, frankly, it took us, oh, Lord, I think, you know, to do the whole first down thing, it took us about 7 years before people finally caught on.
Yeah.
You know, to do that. And it got to be, you know, the whole first down thing, which is what people still like to do because it's become kind of a tradition, you know, which is actually, you know, kind of cool. I heard them do it at the Meadowlands the other night for the Ravens game. And, in fact, my own son said, Dad, they're copying you.
Is great for you. It means it's work.
Imitation is
the sincerest
form of flattery.
I guarantee the first time you did it here, some of the fans' reaction were, that's stupid, that's gay,
yeah, absolutely.
What's he doing?
No. Hey,
what did you
Andy,
do, John?
You're absolutely right about that.
What did you do? How did you guys – Inform the fans that's what they needed to do.
Actually, it was, you know, Gary Godek in mind. It was our idea to try to see if we could do this because he wanted to be proactive with getting fan involvement, you know, around the stadium. And so we thought we'd try something this simple to see if we could do it. I actually, you know, worked on voice inflection and hesitation and then a real loud first down until the NFL came down on my head and said I was cheerleading.
So there wasn't like a flyer passed out in the game day program saying...
No, we actually had some foam number one fingers done up by Pepsi a few years ago that had first down that we gave away to people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people could actually, you know, do the first down thing with the foam fingers or foam hands or whatever they were.
Give you the foam finger, in other words.
Basically. And so that was, I mean, after doing a couple of promotions, and then I remember it was right at the tail end of the tenure at Foxborough Stadium when I hesitated ever so slightly before saying first down, and the fans took it away. And they did it themselves. And I turned and I looked, and Gary was kind of laughing about it.
Did you have a little tear in your
eye? I was going to say, and there was a tear in your eye.
My baby's all grown up.
Yeah, our babies have finally grown up, and it only took them 7 years to figure it out. But, you know, other than that, it just kind of took up from there. But to underscore your point is that it takes forever to do things like this. It's not easily done with this crowd. Hey. I think we were also used over the decades to having the Spartan-like atmosphere of Foxborough slash Schaefer slash Sullivan Station Stadium. Yeah, it was a Spartan team. And so the mindset kind of went along with it. You were there for football, and that's all we're there for.
I think part of football is helping your team.
But we're not here for fun. We're here for a Patriots game.
Exactly.
John,
that's exactly right.
We got to run, but will you do me a favor?
What's that?
There were a ton of emails today, and we only got to a little bit of them. They're in there. Can you get to them for us?
Yes, I'll have Kevin pass them along.
All right, that's great. So John Rook, Patriots Playbook, in his 30th year, coming up next.
That'll do it. Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes, and I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best. But I guess my best wasn't good enough.